massive, massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me get that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A possible stroke suffered by a Senate Democrat, Tim Johnson of South Dakota. Live now from Washington, CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
When CBS radio affiliate WNAX in Yankton, South Dakota, heard this afternoon that Johnson suffered what his aides say looks like a stroke, WNAX went back to its recording of a conference call with the senator earlier today.
Provided a year ago.
And noticed that he started to have trouble talking. The Democrats' leader in the Senate, Harry Reid, has gone to George Washington University Hospital here in D.C. to be with Johnson. A stroke assessment team is checking Johnson, who's 59. Harley?
Should the worst happen, South Dakota's Secretary of State tells CBS News, if Senator Johnson proves unable to serve, a successor could be named by the Republican governor and control of the Senate could remain in GOP hands. The FDA says the prime E. coli suspect now at Taco Bell is the lettuce. Federal health experts looked first at the meat, then the green onions. Now the lettuce moves right to the top of the list. President Bush says after weeks of collecting input, which only started with the Baker-Hamilton report, there is a lot through which to sift, and he won't be rushed to decisions on new Iraq policy.
We're not going to give up. The stakes are too high, and the consequences too grave to turn Iraq over to extremists who want to do the American people and the Iraqi people harm.
CBS's David Martin already getting some hints.
A senior military officer directly involved in the deliberations over a new strategy said there probably will be a surge of U.S. troops into Iraq in an attempt to keep the lid on violence in Baghdad.
And chances are that surge would only be temporary. Dr. Jack Kevorkian will be out of prison soon on parole next June, says Russ Marlin at Michigan's prison system.
The parole board was looking at primarily, will they be a risk to the community upon release? Their health status plays a part in this decision, but it's not the only factor as it was before.
Kevorkian claims to have assisted at least 130 people to end their own misery. He's being paroled on the condition he not do that anymore. Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling is in prison. He arrived at the federal pen in Waseca, Minnesota just afternoon today. He started serving his 24-year sentence for securities fraud and other offenses. Actor Peter Boyle has died. He won an Emmy for his work as the father in Everybody Loves Raymond. Peter Boyle was 71. Note to baby boomers, are you ready for retirement? One out of four are not, and will have to delay the day you tell the boss to take this job. Most will have to work at least two extra years, according to stats tabulated by Boston College's Center for Retirement Research. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 2 points to close at 12,317. The Nasdaq up almost a point. And oil prices, $61.37 a barrel, up 35 cents. This is CBS News.
I know not how to express my devotion to so fair a form. I want a brighter word than bright, a fairer word than fair. I almost wish we were butterflies and lived but three summer days. Three such days with you I could fill with more delight than 50 common years could ever contain. This is how the poet John Keats said, I love you. This Christmas, say something just as beautiful without saying a word. A diamond is forever.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, I'm looking for a holiday gift for my nephew Kyle, the would-be world adventurer.
Would-be?
Well, he hasn't left his kitchen in 2 years.
How about the new HP Pavilion dual-core notebook? 15-inch display, 80-gig hard drive, a gig of memory, just $629.99.
That's great.
Get him everything he needs with a complete gift pack and save. Buy a notebook and save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are many complete gift packs to choose from.
If he ever leaves his kitchen, he'll love it.
If?
Yeah, he lives for ham.
Ever had one of your rear brakes freeze up after years in the cold? Kinda like that at the space station.
The astronauts spent much of the afternoon doing this over and over and over again.
Retract. Ready, ready, now.
No.
Trying to retract a set of solar power wings so another set could rotate into place. But after 6 years in the chill of space, the panels kept getting hung up. Kind of like a bad roadmap, says Shuttle Commander Mark Polanski.
If you start folding it and the fold's going the wrong way, you try a little bit, but there gets a point of just it just folds out and there's nothing you could do other than to pop it back in place or unfold it and try again.
Finally, they folded enough panels to make room for the new set, essential for the goal of rerouting the station's power path. Peter King, CBS News.
Last year, winter in Europe was brutally cold. The beginning of the season this year particularly mild, so mild and rainy, the ice-sculpted Christmas tree in Vienna has melted away. 30 tons of ice, imported ice, of course, from Belgium, though why that might be superior to Austrian ice is a real puzzle. Harley Carr.
It's Enid Live with Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And if all goes well, we're going to be joined in the 4 o'clock hour by the president and CEO of the Snooze and Review, the Sacramento News and Review. We say that affectionately, the Snooze and Review. But he wrote a piece about 10 years ago predicting the demise of daily newspapers. And now, 10 years later, I'm not saying that they're on life support, but certainly they realize that the moment has changed. The times have changed. Circulation is down in most of the daily papers in this country. I don't know that it may be that the New York Post is up or flat, but most everybody else is down, and their revenues are down. And so Jeff Van Kanel, who is the president and CEO of the Sacramento, Chico, and Reno News and Review, is going to talk to us about what he sees in newspapers, whether his prediction was as prescient as I think he probably thinks it was, and what the future holds for daily newspapers, and how they might have been architects of their own demise. So that in the 4 o'clock hour. Let me give you the numbers here, because we love for you to chime in. This is a wonderful time of the year to chime in. We're all bells here. And the more of us who do that, the more vibrant and interesting the conversation becomes. And we know that 99.5 or 9% of you never call this radio show, because that's just what we know. A very tiny percentage of the audience ever phones in. So let me encourage you to do it. It doesn't cost you anything to do it. You might be a little bit nervous, but you'll get over that. We'll all get over that. We're all big boys and girls, even if we're not. You will add immensely, one way or the other. You will maybe prompt us to do some research. Maybe you will remind us of something that we have forgotten and we should remember. You'll inform us of something we should know about. You'll make us laugh. You'll make us cry. You'll make us pound our head against the wall. But whatever it is, we invite you to participate. These are your airwaves, and this is your show. Enid Live, that's right. So if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, and if you're not, 866-626-1320, You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And all this talk about how exercise and crossword puzzles are going to stave off dementia and Alzheimer's for all of us. Well, you know what? I think Enid Live is better than a crossword puzzle for engaging your mind. I think that. You could disagree with that, and you are free to do that. I want to start first of all, I'm so sorry to hear that Peter Boyle died. Did you ever watch him in his film work? And what is it, Everybody Loves Raymond was where we last saw Peter Boyle. He was a monk. I didn't know that. And I met him some years ago in New York because a good friend of mine died. And she knew him, and they were friends, and he came to the memorial service, and he was lovely and tall. I hadn't realized he was so sick, but he dies at 71, a combination of heart issues and multiple myeloma. Apparently he had been dealing with that disease for quite a long time. So Peter Boyle, father of Raymond, apparently he was so unlike the character that he played. Apparently he was smart and well-read and a gentleman and very unlike the character he played on Everybody Loves Raymond. This I love a lot because I love flea markets and I love thrift store shops, and I love the stories you hear about a woman in, I think in the East Bay, went to a thrift shop and she paid $5 for the strip painting, you know, kind of a fake Jackson Pollock, except it turns out that it's really a Jackson Pollock. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So, here's another story along those lines. There was a flea market, sidewalk sale. And a guy ambles over, and he buys this record album for 75 cents. It is a Velvet Underground album, and it is 75 cents. And when he puts it on his turntable, he cues it up, he said he was stunned. The first song was not Sunday Morning, it's the Velvet Underground and Nico Verve LP, but rather it was European Sun. And apparently there are only two copies of this album that exist. And he had bought one of them for 75 cents, and he just sold it to, I think, a collector or somebody for $155,000. So his 75-cent purchase turned into $155,000. Also, I want to share this important piece of news with you, and that's that one of the Bush twins is going to be spending Christmas tangoing the night away with her new Argentine boyfriend, the one who's unemployed and loves her because when they go out, they each pay separately. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to the phones. Helen, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Helen.
Yeah, hi. You're one of the few people that I still listen to on radio because I've become very unhappy with the way things are reported. And you have a lovely voice. You can discuss issues sanely and give your opinion sanely. But it hurts me because I don't want you to fall in the same trap as Rush Limbaugh and Randy Rhodes and some of those and using those silly names. Like during the election when you use the words Fortsy and doo-doo and stuff, it really bothers me because you don't have to do that.
You don't like Governor Schnortzy, Schwarzenschnorrer?
No, I don't.
Oh, admit it. Oh, admit it, Helen. You do.
No, you don't.
You laughed. You don't. That was an involuntary cackle. I could tell.
No, you don't have to do that because you have enough talent to discuss. If you don't like him, there's some things he does that drives me crazy, but he does have a name. He is a governor, and you don't have to. Rush Limbaugh does things like this all the time. Well, many of the talks, it's the thing to do now on talk show, and I don't want your show to go that way. Right?
You don't want us to fall into the Rush Limbaugh toilet. Is that what you're saying, essentially? the sewer system inhabited by right-wing talk radio, that system?
Well, but there also is some on the left, too. I've listened to both. And I think there's some on the left. Randy Rose says nasty things. She maybe has to do that, but you don't. You don't have to do that.
I don't.
All.
You mean I'm too good for that? Oh, Helen, we love your version of it.
I think you're above them. Not too good, but above them.
Well, I like your version, and I'm afraid I'm. Well, I'm going to put it out there and see if people agree with you.
Okay.
Because
thanks.
I haven't had any feedback on Schwartz and Schnorr or anything like that. So.
Oh yeah.
But let's see how people respond. You know what I call? Well, what about calling the president George W. Dickey Bush?
I think that's playground, a grade school playground stuff.
You do?
He's a lousy president, and those are two English words, and I think people can understand that. And
well, this leads into something I've been thinking about. Can I tell you how the Republicans are going after Barack Obama right now? If we're talking about sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Uh-huh.
His middle name is Hussein.
Yes.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
And they're going after him on his middle name and trying to make him sound like a terrorist. So, if that's the case, is there any argument to be made for fighting fire with fire?
No, I think that's pathetically pathetic, petty. And I don't think you're fight fire. You're above that, and I don't wish you wouldn't do that.
Okay, Helen, thank you so much. Your objection is duly noted, and I thank you. All right, Helen has just given me hell in a very nice way. And she has said, I shouldn't say Dickie, and I shouldn't say Deep Doo 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 Little, and I shouldn't call him Schnortzy for Schwartz and Schnorr, because he's snoring contributions. There are all these SH words in Yiddish that are just, there just is not an English equivalent for them. Schmooze, schlep. Schnorr, and schnorr is when you've got your hand out always, and you're begging, and you're somebody who's not homeless. You're just somebody who's always a taker and not a giver, and you're always trying to catch something for nothing. And so there's a great little sarcastic zits to schnorr. So here is Schwartzy, who's worth a ton of money, and he's got his hand out to all the big companies, Chevron, PG&E, Blue Cross of California, hoping that they'll buy $50,000 a piece tickets for the inauguration. To finance this imperial inauguration that I'm still waiting for my invitation for, and to finance private jet travel. So I'm calling him Schwartz and Schnorr, or Schnortzy. Now, Helen says I should not lower myself to these awful depths and shouldn't call Doolittle Deep Doo Doo Doolittle. And I shouldn't call the president Dickey so that I can say there are two dicks running the White House. And I shouldn't call the governor Schnortzy. What are your thoughts on, is she right? She's arguing for a more civilized dialogue. But you have the Republicans now going after Barack Obama because his middle name is Hussein. Marjorie and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I like the fire with fire approach. And I want to tell you, Enid, I think we should add more to this dick family. I like your Dickie, and I like the big Dick Cheney. And, you know, we can add Rush to that. His first name can be Limp.
Oh, you're so mean, Marjorie. Well, you know what they say. You know, have you ever heard the description of the non-Viagra user, the person in need of Viagra who doesn't use it?
No.
Well, it's like apparently like trying to stuff an oyster, into a parking meter.
That's very picture.
Yes, thank you. Well, I thought you'd think so. Thank you, Marjorie, for weighing in. She got more than she bargained for, didn't she? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay, Helen says, I shouldn't use these names. Marjorie says, you got to fight fire with fire. Anybody want to comment on my nicknames for people? You like it, you don't like it? Does it add to a more civilized dialogue? Is it uncivilized? I like to think of it as colorful. You know, it's a condiment. And I want to talk about this business about Barack Hussein Obama and the Republicans going after him for his middle name. And then to add to that conversation, Jeff Greenfield has decided to go after Barack Obama for the way he dresses, and has decided, who does he look like he dresses like? Who does Barack Obama look like he dresses like? Well, the president of Iran, because Barack Obama has decided that a good look for him is to wear a shirt with no tie and a jacket. And that's the way the president of Iran dresses. So here is Jeff Greenfield at no extra charge trying to ally Barack Obama in his sartorial splendor with the president of Iran. At the same time, the Republican right wing is going after Barack for his middle name. And you can laugh and say, this is so petty, this is so ridiculous, it's never going to stick. But you would be surprised what sticks. Well, for example, the Swift boaters, they're being fined $300,000. You think they care? These are rich people who are behind the Swift boat attacks. And $300,000 is bus fare to these people. Particularly cost-to-benefit ratio, particularly in light of the fact that they were able to so successfully decimate John Kerry. So if it costs them $300,000 more, big deal. 349-1320, 866, 620-6-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Things are happening at Southbound 99 at Consumers River College. We have a two-car crash over there. Power In Road at Florin Road. Two cars, emergency vehicles are blocking the lane, and you might want to take another route. That's actually stopping down all of the roadways there. Westbound 50 at Bass Lake, Dry Creek Road at E Street, and westbound 50 just east of Sunrise Boulevard. There's a vehicle on the right-hand slide, slowing traffic down. Say that three times really fast. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
And you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now,
3:21. Edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. I'm giving you my heart. Your goddess has given you her heart every single day from 3 to 7, and I hope you are satisfying the homework assignment, which is to tell four people, you don't even have to know them, but it's a great way to strike up a conversation. Tell four people every day that we are here, AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel is here, Enid Live is here from 3 to 7. You can start your morning with the morning retort, Scott and Sims, 5:30 to 9. And all this wonderful talk radio in between Al Franken and Randy Rhodes and on and on. And then on the weekends, RFK Jr. and Mike Papantonio and Rachel Maddow. You have all kinds of people. David Bender, Rachel Maddow, and so on. So, just a flavor of the kind of talk radio. And one of the things that we're talking about today, now one of you called me. So we've got one in each column. Helen called and she said, I didn't have to lower myself in talk radio to call John Doolittle, Deep Doolittle. Or do nothing, that I shouldn't call the president Dickey, and that I shouldn't call the governor Schwartz and Schnorr or Schnortzy because it demeans me and I don't have to stoop to those levels. Well, Marjorie called to say, no, you got to fight fire with fire. And the Republicans, by the way, the right wingers, are going after Barack Obama not for his positions, not for what he believes in or doesn't believe in, but because his middle name is Barack Hussein Obama. Jeff Greenfield wanted to pile on by calling attention to the fact that Barack Obama dresses rather like the president of Iran. Like, I can't believe that any of this would get traction. So you may want to comment on my little nicknames and whether you think they work or they don't, or they're funny or they're not funny, or if it demeans what laughingly refers to itself as a civilized conversation, or whether it's a colorful condiment. Your call, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Linda in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Enid. Hi, I'm calling on the topic of the colorful language on talk radio.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a liberal. I listen to talk radio on the left all the time, and I enjoy it. But I have to say, even I sometimes am offended and do get tired of some of the name-calling, boob and grabber. I get a little tired of that. It's just, you know, I think you can have an intelligent conversation. You can be passionate. You can be funny. But I don't think you have to be demeaning. So on the other side, I pick up my mother a lot. I drive her, and I have my radio station on, and I want her to listen to the left because she spends too much time listening to the right.
I know, but you are not going to change your mother. I'm going to tell you this right now. You can pray to the heavens, and unless she has an epiphany on her own, I don't think you're going to change her. How old is Mom?
She's 80.
Mom, Mom's, and who does Mom listen to on talk radio?
Well, you know, she does. She does listen to Rush, but I have to say that she did vote for the Democratic choice for governor. But the thing is that she won't listen oftentimes to what I have on because she's offended. She's offended by, you know, some of the language, some of the name calling.
What is she offended by? You know what? Listen, if she can listen to right wing talk radio and she can listen to Rush and she's not offended,
well,
Linda, please, we are anemic. We are anemic compared to that man.
No, she is offended by Rush, but she does.
But she. Oh, all right. Now wait a minute. Let's take it a little farther. She's offended by him, but she loves listening to him.
Well, you know,
is it? Can we describe this as a guilty pleasure?
No, I just think that if there is intelligent left talking radio that can be humorous, that can be entertaining, that can be passionate,
well,
but not offensive.
Okay. Well, all right.
Is that possible?
Yeah. Well, we hope it is, and we hope that is what we're trying to do every single day. And some days we fall short. Some days we make the mark. Sometimes we like to think we exceed the mark, but that we do. We are always trying for the most vibrant, most compelling conversation each day.
Well,
and the equation for that varies from moment to moment. But I am delighted, Linda, that you weighed in, and thank you for doing it.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. So Linda's mother, Linda is arguing for don't use these names, and she's arguing for a civilized conversation. But Linda's mother loves listening to Rush Limbaugh. Nobody is meaner than Rush. And it doesn't, you know, it's not about being offensive, I think. Sometimes it's a guilty pleasure for people. You know, the polling done during the O.J. trial, I have shared this with you a million times. People were asked, have you had enough of O.J.? Oh, we can't stand. We don't want any more O.J. People could not get enough of it. So people say, I am offended by these names. I'm offended by your teasing about this or that or the other. And then they love it. They can't wait to fall into Rush's arms. And I don't think you could call him the most civilized person in the world. You could ask some of his ex-wives about that. Curtis in Sac, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Curtis.
Hi. Hey, Linda used the boob and grabber as an example. That's not something that I've heard on Air America. It is something, however, I have heard Christine Kraft use on Talk City.
Okay.
So,
but what are your thoughts about calling him Governor Schnortzy? Doolittle. Dickie is the president.
Whatever works. Whenever I see the word GOP, I always say out loud, government of pigs. If I'm reading aloud, because that to me is what it stands for, and that's the way, you know, if they're going to play that game, it's going to have to be played both ways.
Well, here's the thing about name calling. It's got to work. Or if it's just a name and it gets old quickly, then it doesn't really work. It's got to be amusing, or it's not worth our time. Curtis, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for weighing in. 349-1320, 866-620-1620, Emily and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Enid. This is Emily calling you again. I don't know if I've told you, but I'm in my mid-60s. And, you know, I was raised to be civilized, but I think that there's a good reason to keep up the name calling. It reminds people of the things that they've done. Are you there?
I am.
Okay. I mean, it's just, and it only takes an instant to do that, to say something that will refresh people's minds as to what these people that we're calling those names. They refer to something real that happened, that they did. It's not something we're making up, that we make up, like they're going after Obama.
For his middle name, because his middle name is Hussein. Okay, I've got an idea. Sometimes even the cleverest names or jokes or lines or whatever can get old very quickly. So if anybody's got some great ideas for new material, new names for Dickie, for Deep Doo 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 Little, for anybody in the governor, I mean, I'm open to it. So, Emily, thanks for weighing in. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. Henry in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Henry.
Thank you for putting me on the line. I love your show, a long-time listener.
Thank you.
Hey, check it out. Why these people are bashing you? They need to get a life. They need to leave you alone so you can do your job. What is it that they want? A boring show on the radio like the one Rush has? Come on. We have to have something fresh, new ideas. If it costs to be doing some name-calling, so be it. I mean, come on. In fact, let's get creative and bring some more new ideas to this thing.
Well,
I support you 100%.
I am with you. We need some new names to call. Henry, thank you so much for defending your beleaguered goddess. We appreciate it very much. Dance with me, Henry. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Okay, Henry says we need some new names. We have got to get more colorful in describing the cast of characters here. And here's the other thing. I think we're all in... I've talked about comedy clubs. You go to the comedy club, and it's not funny a lot of the times. It's the F-bomb for cadence. Every other word is the F-bomb, and people laugh like they never heard that word before. It is a word so widely used, except not in broadcast. You can't use it in broadcast. However, the FCC is going to televise these arguments against indecency, so you are going to hear it in some broadcasting milieu, maybe like on C-SPAN or something like that. But in any event... my complaint about the comedy clubs and the lack of real comedy in them a lot of the time is that it depends on the creativity of your ideas and the humor. And humor is a very dicey thing. It's a real skill to do that. And even in our reporting, nobody gives credence to the word pictures that radio used to be able to paint magnificently. And I started out life as a writer. I like to think I still am, even though I hardly have the time to do it. And I probably ought to be thinking more about word pictures than I do. And I'm going to rely on those of you who are, the three or four of us, who are still around, who are still reading newspapers, who are still literate, who still care about the language and who care about the creativity of the language and who care about stimulating our imagination. Because more and more, we are all drinking from that same stale trough of ideas. Network television, cable television, more and more syndicated radio. And aren't we lucky in Sacramento to have local hosts, local radio? You don't see that in a lot of places anymore. A lot of these radio stations, and there have been some really egregious examples, under single ownership, let's say in one city, there's a chemical spill, there's some kind of a tragedy, and there's nobody live to broadcast it because it's all on automation. So, everybody's getting the same stuff. And then even the playlist for music has been reduced. The playlist for blockbuster films reduced. The playlist for books reduced. Everybody wants what will really sell rather than taking a chance on what is amazing and creative and outside the mold. So it is our job. I guess we're going to be sentries here in talk radio, at least on Enid Live, to try to keep our imagination as open as possible, as aerobically challenged as possible. And this is going to be the place, or I always like to hope that it is the place for me and for you every day where we can really amp it up if we want to. This is a place where creativity, imagination, great word pictures, the language, good ideas, salty ideas within the confines of what the FCC demands of us, colorful ideas, wonderful humor are all encouraged. So you are encouraged to express yourself here fully, and you can do it, and it doesn't cost you a penny to do it. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Ginger in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ginger.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
I just wanted to weigh in on the name calling.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem with it unless it gets overboard and there's no real information,
Mm-hmm.
The other progressive radio station that I listen to, I stopped listening in the afternoon, but that's all it became was name calling. And I never learned anything new. But I don't think you do that. You seem to have a good balance.
Well, we try to do... Listen, I try to include a ton of information in every single show. So if you're really listening, and I think a lot of radio listening happens in bites. You're in the car, you're out of the car, you're going to the grocery store, you park and do your shopping, you get back in the car, you're picking up somebody, you're driving home from work. But some of you, we're lucky. A lot of you stay with us for the whole 4 hours. And for those of you who do, I really don't want to bore you. I don't want to be bored. I have an attention span, I have the attention span of a bumblebee. And I imagine most of us out there, most of us do these days, just because there's so much demand on us.
We're so busy. Yeah,
we are so busy that I really try to add as much as possible. And as much as I try to add, I have to say, all of you complete the loop. The calls, I think with the calls and people who fill in the gaps and who add things that I really didn't know about, by the end of it, I always like to say when it's gone well, I'm smarter at the end of the show than I was at the beginning, and the whole becomes greater than than the sum of the parts. It is a great dialogue that we are having here. And if you want to call me names, that's okay, too. I don't have a problem with that, Ginger.
The names add a little, you know, spice to it, but you got to have the information or I'll stop listening.
You're putting me on notice. I'm getting an ultimatum from Ginger. All right, Ginger. We're putting some spice, some ginger into your snap. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
349-1320. Dave, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of the name calling. I find it third grade schoolyard stuff. I tuned out Limbaugh and Savage and some of the others because Al Franken is a refreshing note. I mean, he gives you some intellectual stimuli, and he doesn't stoop to that stuff. I mean, he pokes fun, and he has some good points, and he makes mock. But I think this stuff is typical of the grammar school grade playground stuff, and I don't think it's necessary. I think you can rise above that.
I'm trying to rise above it without the aid of Viagra. But I thank you very much, Dave. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Eric in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Enid. I like the name calling.
Do you?
I like it. It makes me happy, and I have one for Bush. I've called him Monkey for a while, and basically because he looks like a chimp.
Well, you know who he in a way, a lot of cartoonists portray him that way, but he also looks like Alfred E. Newman in Mad Magazine, What Me Worry?
Alfred E. Newman, yeah, and he looks like he has, infant alcohol syndrome, what is that called?
Fetal alcohol syndrome?
Yeah, fetal alcohol. He looks like he has that kind of.
Well, I don't think he was a fetus when he was drinking. All right. I thank you very much. Thanks, Eric. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday, midweek edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight, 50. I'll tell you what, in this studio right now, oh, my gosh, it's like 97 degrees or something. It's 1,320 degrees. That's what it is. 58 is going to see for tomorrow. Scattered showers, though, on Friday. Beautiful on Saturday. Sunday's more scattered showers. It's an every other day thing. Traffic's every other day as well. Today, southbound 99 at Free Ridge Road. We're a little slow over there due to a car crash. Arden Way at Fair Oaks Boulevard, a two-car crash. And northbound I-5, just north of Laguna Boulevard, we have a vehicle on the right-hand side just slowing things down just a little bit. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
There's something I'd really like. So if you're up there somewhere, Santa, please don't bring me another bike. I don't need any ugly sweaters, and I don't play much basketball. But there's something kind of special that I want most of all. I want an alien for Christmas. Bring me an alien this year. I want a little green guy about 3 feet high with 17 eyes who knows how to fly. I want an alien for Christmas this year.
Sounds like a description of Rush, doesn't it? 345, the minister of OxyContin. No, am I not supposed to call him that? 345 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. And we're talking about some of you calling in to call me names. Well, not really, but to spank me a little bit for name calling. When I like to think I'm being a little bit clever, but maybe I'm not. Schnortzy, Governor Schnortzy. But here's what the Republicans are doing, talking about name calling. They don't hesitate for a second. And I think the Democrats can take a page out of their book. Well, they're going after Barack Obama because he's such a rock star. How can they go after him? They can't. They'll figure out ways to go after him racially, just like they did with Harold Ford in Tennessee. But how they're going to go after him is his middle name, which happens to be Hussein. Now remember, his mom's white from Kansas. His dad is from Kenya. The parents met in Hawaii. So, and he went to prep school in Hawaii. And, you know, he is now going to be, everybody's looking at a Hillzilla-Obambi matchup, Hillary and Obama. Maureen Dowd is saying in the New York Times, the most politically unproblematic black man to ever dream of national office, Senator Obama, is Senator Clinton's worst nightmare. He is as comfortable in his skin as she is uncomfortable in hers. When push comes to shove, I think gender is going to be a harder sell than race. said one person who's been following the race, it's not that people don't intellectually believe in the idea of a woman as president, but look at the schools. There are lots of women teaching elementary school and very few women superintendents of schools. So let's talk about that for a moment. There are one political observer is saying, and by the way, not only the right-wingers going after Barack Obama because his middle name is Hussein, but also for his style of dress with Jeff Greenfield, whom I'm surprised, maybe he thinks he's just funny, but the right-wingers will pick up on this as well, who describes Barack Obama's style of dress as resembling that of the president of Iran. It's a shirt, it's no tie, it's a jacket. Make of that what you will. But one observer is saying that the country would more readily install a person of color as president before a woman. That's what she's saying, and it may be true. And her example is, look at when push comes to shove, I think gender is going to be a harder sell than race. That it's more likely that Barack Obama could be president than Hillary. Now, is it a question of gender and race, or is it a question of specific people involved here? Maureen Dowd says about Hillary that she is uncomfortable in her skin, that Barack is as comfortable in his skin as she is uncomfortable in her skin. And if you look at schools, you have a lot of elementary school teachers, a lot, but very few women who are superintendents of schools. What does that tell us? Does that tell us that women still don't have the same chance that men do? Well, there were a lot of female candidates, blue to red and red to blue, and they did not do so well in general. Some of them won, but most of them did not. Democratic officials are searching for explanations. A working hypothesis is that female candidates were more vulnerable on certain issues, for example, the issue of immigration, and they are viewed as more generous with federal aid and amnesty. I think, you know, you can stop scratching your head. Well, are women more taking a position about immigration that doesn't sit well with the electorate? Is it that they're more generous with federal aid and amnesty? I think it's because they're women. Maybe that's it. Maybe that factors into the equation. They just did a survey asking people, do you think that racism exists? And a lot of people think that racism does exist, but they don't think that they're racist. And yet when they were asked a bunch of questions, you could conclude that they are racist. People don't like to think of themselves as not being enlightened enough to vote a woman into office. Now, in California, our two senators are both women, Jewish women, actually. You've got Barbara Boxer and you have Difi. One's almost a Republican and one is still a lefty. So the question is why women didn't do as well as you might have expected in the last election. And the operative idea here with Hillary and Obama is that people that race will trump gender, and that people that race will trump gender. Is that true, do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, or is it that Hillary seems more uncomfortable in her skin, whereas Barack seems very comfortable in his skin? And then I heard the minister of OxyContin play a clip. I guess Barack was giving a speech, and he went over to Maureen Dowd, who was in the audience, and he said he was putting her on notice. I guess she has written about his big ears. Now, I don't remember seeing any kind of a column about that. And he said he'd been taunted about his big ears since childhood. Barack Obama is an interesting man for a lot of reasons, but one reason is he's one of these guys who, if you look at his features, he is not the cutest guy in the room. He does have, you know, he does have big ears. But he asked her not to dwell on that. That he was apparently still sensitive about it. It was the impression I had. If you can believe anything that comes out of the mouth of the minister of OxyContin. So if he said that, I'm rather surprised. And they did play a clip, but it was so indecipherable, you really couldn't make out what was being said. But Barack Obama is, if you look at his features and analyze them, he's not the cutest guy, but there's something about him that's very attractive. He's tall. There's just something about who he is, and it comes through regardless of whether he has big ears or medium ears or tiny ears. It doesn't matter. There's something that makes him very attractive. And I've known people like that. There's some kind of an enchantment that they could throw over you. I knew one guy who was probably not more than 5 feet tall, and I think he might have been 5 feet wide, and he looked in a certain light, a little bit like the Michelin Man, and once he opened his mouth, you forgot what he looked like. He became really handsome because he was hilarious. He was funny, and he was so much fun to be with. 349-1320. Oh, my goodness. We're talking about names. You have Schwarzenookie, Kindergarten Copperfield. These are from Salon.com for Governor Schnortzy. 349-1320. I'm pretty, you know what, I'm pretty benign here. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Tonight, lows 50. We're going to see highs tomorrow, 58. For traffic and weather from the left, or traffic southbound 99, a little slow, but right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Seems that it's going on to Elk Grove Boulevard, so we have a little bit of a jam going on there. Sheldon Road, there's a two-car crash there as well. At northbound 99, northbound Cap City Freeway at Watt Avenue, we have a hit and run. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
G56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. Let's head over to the phones. Blake in Apple Hill. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Blake.
Hi, Eunice.
Eunice? Eunice!
Does that sound disrespectful?
Well, it's incorrect.
Well, it's almost like name calling.
Well, no, it isn't. It just sounds like you don't know who you're talking to.
Well, I think you got my point, and I think other listeners will also.
Well, no, Blake, you just sound like you're muddled. That's all. 349-1320. Steve and Loomis, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Enid. Hey, I think the one thing that I see out of Barack Obama that he has going is, when I've seen him speak on TV, that what comes out of his mouth, even if it's stuff that I don't align with or agree with, he has a way of coming across where it doesn't become a disheartening. His statements that he makes aren't disheartening, and I think he has a real positive allure that wants you to believe what comes out of his mouth.
Well, there's something magic about it.
On Iraq strategy, but no plan yet.
I'm not going to be rushed into making a difficult decision.
A new culprit in the Taco Bell E. coli outbreak.
That most likely vehicle is lettuce.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The commander-in-chief and the nation's top military leadership huddled at the Pentagon today, weighing the options in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller begins our coverage.
Calling it a fascinating discussion, President Bush spent the better part of 2 hours with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the civilian leadership of the Pentagon. But in the search for a new strategy on Iraq, he renewed his commitment to the current one.
If we lose our nerve, if we're not steadfast in our determination to help the Iraqi government succeed, we will be handing Iraq over to an enemy that would do us harm.
By delaying announcement of a new strategy until January, Mr. Bush says he's hearing more ideas and opinions. He says some are interesting, but some, in his words, would lead to defeat. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The new strategy could involve a short-term buildup of U.S. troops to quell the violence in Baghdad. CBS News correspondent David Martin talked to a senior military officer directly involved in the deliberations.
According to this officer, neither the number nor the types of troops that would be sent into Baghdad have been decided, although commanders in the field have made it clear they need trainers to embed in Iraqi units, engineers to undertake construction projects, and staff officers to help run the Iraqi ministries more than they need combat troops. Most of all, they need the government of Prime Minister Maliki to bridge Iraq's sectarian divide.
The commanders are telling President Bush that Iraq is approaching a point of no return and he has less than 6 months to turn it around. Now this.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixels.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, I'm looking for a holiday gift for my nephew Kyle, the would-be world adventurer.
Would-be?
Well, he hasn't left his kitchen in 2 years.
How about the new HP Pavilion dual-core notebook? 15-inch display, 80-gig hard drive, a gig of memory, just $629.99.
That's great.
Get him everything he needs with a complete gift pack and save. Buy a notebook and save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are many complete gift packs to choose from.
If he ever leaves his kitchen, he'll love it.
If?
Yeah, he lives for ham.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Green onions, white onions. Now federal health investigators say lettuce was the likely carrier of E. coli bacteria that sickened dozens of people who ate at Taco Bell's in the Northeast. It still hasn't been confirmed, but Dr. Christopher Braden at the Centers for Disease Control is cautiously optimistic.
We haven't seen new cases in a number of days. That does give us comfort that the outbreak is drawing to a close.
Taco Bell says it is not necessary to take lettuce off its menu. Senator Tim Johnson, Democrat of South Dakota, is hospitalized in Washington for treatment of a possible stroke. Johnson had trouble with his speech during an interview with CBS radio affiliate WNAX in Yankton.
You know, it just is frustrating.
Johnson's office says it was caught very early, but if he's incapacitated or dies, it could mean the Democrats lose their one-seat majority in the Senate. The governor of South Dakota, who'd appoint a replacement, is a Republican. Actor Peter Boyle, most recently known as Frank Barone on Everybody Loves Raymond, has died at 71. He'd been battling multiple myeloma and heart disease. Boyle's TV wife, Doris Roberts, says it's like losing a real spouse.
He was so dear. So unlike what you see him do on television or movies. A gentle, kind, wonderfully intelligent, sensitive man.
Boyle was a former monk who quit the monastery and pursued an acting career in New York, where he became a good friend of John Lennon. Lennon was best man at his wedding. In 1974, he was the monster opposite Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein.
You are not evil. You are... good!
Peter Boyle once described the Frank Barone character as obnoxious in a nice way. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
And now, Feed Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
After 4 o'clock, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can always join the conversation. Doesn't cost you a penny to do it. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We also stream live, so we have listeners that are listening in the Virgin Islands. You have to be a virgin to live in the Virgin Islands. And lots of other places, Texas, all over the place. And you can find us on the web, 1320leftchannel.com. We are joined in this segment by the president and CEO of the Sacramento, Chico, and Reno News and Review, Jeff Fontcano. And the reason we are, it's one of my favorite subjects to talk about. About 10 years ago, he wrote a piece in the News and Review, entitled Mainstream Newspapers, R.I.P. This was 10 years ago. Why the big dailies, including the B, will be extinct by the year 2006. Well, it is now 2006. I'm not saying that they're on life support, But their circulation is down. Revenues are down for most newspapers. I think maybe only the New York Post is up. And so your prediction is, has wended its way down to where you thought it was going to go. Jeff Von Kanel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Enos. Great to be here.
All right. So talk to me about why you thought 10 years ago that newspapers were headed for their own demise.
Well, this was, of course, before Craigslist or Google became a verb. And but classifieds are essentially a database that can work out better electronically than they can in print. And so when I had that realization, I went, well, this is going to kill classifieds for dailies, which is going to wipe them out. Now, what's occurred is the Boston Globe is losing money now. The Chronicle's losing money.
The Chronicle looks anorexic.
It's well, and that's where
the B on Sunday is still thick with advertising. The Chronicle, even on Sunday and even around the holiday season when you expect much more advertising, is still looking anorexic.
And that's because Craigslist started in San Francisco. And so as it's rolling out, as it's like doubling the number of page hits and offering free classifieds, it's literally wiping out the daily's classifieds, which they can't sustain themselves after that. So that's why I made the prediction, and so that's why the stocks have dropped so much in all the dailies. That's why there's been over 1,000 layoffs.
Was it stupid for McClatchy to buy up the Knight Ridder chain?
Yeah.
You think? Even though they sold off the papers in cities that they didn't think were going to sustain the growth.
I think this Wall Street has made a verdict on that. That's why the stock has dropped 25% since they did it, and that's why they're doing layoffs at the B now and their other papers. I mean, it's they're trying to maintain the short-term profit while they're decimating the whole news operation.
So why have all right? Let's talk about one thing at a time. Okay. In San Francisco, and Phil Bronstein is an old friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
And he's a friend of Craig Newmark, who started Craigslist.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, in San Francisco, their classified business went to hell because you can advertise now for free on Craigslist. You can advertise, you know, you can sell anything, you can buy anything at jobs, all the things, all the places that where you would buy a classified ad. You don't have to do it anymore. You can do it for nothing on Craigslist. And Craigslist, they're not interested in selling out to some big owner and raking in a lot of money. They are just interested in continuing to do what they want to do, according to all the reports that I see.
Right.
Okay. So now you have that going on. At the same time, you have the phenomenon of nobody under 35 reading the hard copy of a daily paper. And a lot of people are cruising online, but not a lot of people under 35 are regularly reading a daily newspaper, you know, in the form that we are accustomed to.
And those are the double whammies that make it not very possible to have a daily newspaper. You have to remember, like to do a paper like The Bee, it costs, you need about $200 million in revenue. If you lose classifieds, if you lose subscription revenue like that, you just can't get enough resources to do it. So what they're doing is they're dismantling the news operations, and which is, I think, going to make them not be able to survive in the post-daily world.
They're cannibalizing themselves.
Right.
It's a short-term solution if they're going to gut the heart of their operation, which is the news side of it. Then what are they going to sell on any kind of an internet platform?
And I think what is particularly disgusting, what we talked about in the story that's going to run in tomorrow's News and Review, is that as opposed to kind of set themselves up for the future, is they're gutting the operation and then paying out these incredible bonuses. I mean, it's the people at the LA Times got, one of the person got $64 million. The Knight Ridder's got over $50 million. Gary Pruitt, I mean, if you follow this out, he bought Knight Ridder, the stock drops 25%, they're announcing layoffs at the B, and he gets $1 million bonus. Like,
where can I sign up for that? Well, it's like Halliburton. You know, there's all these cost overruns, there's no oversight, it's completely corrupt, and they keep getting more contracts.
Yeah,
so incompetence or our president continues to be rewarded. How profitable is the B? It was making what percentage of profit 10 years ago, and what is it now, estimating?
I don't know. I would guess around 20%. But
now or 10 years ago?
Probably 10 years ago. And now it hasn't dipped that much. Where it's going to, where it has dramatically down is, of course, like Boston and San Francisco, where Craigslist is, and other internet classifieds have taken over more. But everyone can see the handwriting on the wall, and so they're preparing themselves by dismantling the news operation. It makes no sense. And What's particularly
But wait a minute. But even in their decline, newspapers still remain pretty profitable.
They're extremely profitable.
So maybe Pruitt didn't, even though the stock price is depressed at the moment, maybe he didn't make such a bad decision after all. It's still a lot of cash flow.
Except when you read, I mean, what's occurring is that the classified revenue is starting to go down, and when it goes down really fast. That's what you, like the Chronicle is a total example of that.
Are they going to be able to stay in business? No. I love reading the Chronicle. It's like, you know, it's like no other newspaper.
No.
It's so idiosyncratic. It's so eccentric. It's so quirky. I love reading it.
Well, good luck.
All right, so how do you stay in business? You're a weekly, and what I've noticed, and there was an absence there from the last time I lived in Sacramento, it used to be, I thought, thicker with ads than it is now, but you still have a lot of classified ads, and some of them are pretty raunchy, as a matter of fact, a lot of the out-call massage ads. At the same time, and this is what I think is amazing, you have been able to corral the Christian right market or the religious market.
Mm-hmm.
So in the middle of the book, you're running a lot of Christian ads, and then at the end of it, you're running the alcohol massage ads and the personals and all of that other stuff. Talk to me about this contrast that you've managed to cobble together.
Well, first of all, I mean, you asked two questions there. One is, how are we going to survive? And the answer is, first of all, is that we're so much further down the food chain. To have a paper like the News Review, you need to bring in about $5 million revenue. To bring in a paper like the Bee, you need $200 million revenue. So we have a much easier time ecologically to be able to make that happen. And then the second reason is we have just a very committed readership that loves the paper, identifies with it, and those two things really help us go forward. Now, your second question is, yes, we are the only alternative paper in the country that has both a religious section and an adult section.
How did you make that happen?
Well, I have been really committed since September 11th. I put on an event at Mondavi Center at Memorial Auditorium on the anniversary of September 11th to bring different faith groups together for the night of celebration. And then we did these habitat houses. And so I started going to different places to audition the choirs. And so I've been to over 80 places here in Sacramento. And so one thing that I love about the religious groups is that they are a place for people don't have to bowl alone. They can connect up with other people. And so I wanted to build a bridge and get dialogue going. And so it means I've been to a lot of right-wing churches and have been more.
How is it that they've fallen in love with you, even though in the back of the book you've got all these adult ads? How is it that they've managed to? How have you done that?
Well, I had general dialogue with them. I went to their services, I talked to them, and then they would ask me, "Well, Jeff, we really appreciate you doing all this interfaith work. We think this is really neat. We like building habitat houses with people. I mean, you put the Sikhs and Latter-day Saints together. This is really cool. You're doing all this stuff. But we have this huge problem with your adult section." And then I said back to them, well, I understand, but it's because we have controversial ads and we have controversial stories. That's why nearly 25% of the people in Sacramento regularly read the News Review. And one of the problems they have with going to religious organizations is that they feel they're too judgmental. That they're going to come there and they're going to be judged. Now, if we're reaching 350,000 people, if you don't want them to come because we have adult ads, maybe they shouldn't. Because if that's how judgmental you are,
well then, don't be on TV either, because TV also has its adult
or internet or whatever.
Yeah.
And so,
well, that was a good argument.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
The ads have been really working for them. I mean, it's in terms of not just, I mean, the Scientology, the all the church ads are getting great response.
I don't have a great high opinion of Scientology. And I have to ask you a question,
sure.
Because the News and Review came under a lot of criticism for its reporting on the Middle East and a cartoon that looked anti-Semitic to a lot of people. In fact, you had a couple of pages of letters to the editor, and I didn't see one positive letter to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an offensive cartoon. I'm not big on censorship, but I think your reporting is very one-sided on the Middle East.
One-sided in terms of anti-Israel?
Yes, yeah. I do see it that way. You want to respond?
What?
You want to respond?
Well, I think the cartoon played out the cartoon created a bunch of controversy. I thought it was a very fair cartoon, and certainly the events that occurred later on in Lebanon turned out to be certainly true in my mind. I don't think our coverage is on one side.
Well, I think so, because you had a letter from Lebanon, you had a letter from Palestine, you didn't have a letter from Israel on the conflict. So to me, that wasn't very that wasn't what you'd call fair and balanced. That was one sided.
Well, you can get one side in terms of people letter writing. If you let
No. I mean the letters, what you publish, not an actual letter, but people who are had a Sacramento tie, but who are Lebanese and who are Palestinian. Right. But you didn't have anybody from Israel who had a Sacramento tie. So I thought that was one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things is about the News Review is that if you read it long enough, like 2 weeks, you will find is that the people disagree within the paper with themselves. And part of the reason is if part of the goal is to bring in diversity of points of view, that we're going to have that. So did I see the cartoon before? No, I never see the cartoon before.
Well, I think if you're Jewish, you would have had a problem with that cartoon because it looks like a lot of the old anti-Semitic cartoons that you would see in Europe in the 30s and in the 20s and so on. And I think that was what triggered a lot of response.
Mm-hmm.
My guest is Jeff von Kanel. He is the president and CEO of the Sacramento, Chico, and Reno News and Review. You might have some questions for him. He's talking about the death of newspapers, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I love newspapers. I subscribe to, three of them. There are two more waiting for me when I get to the station.
Yeah.
And then I'm online looking at everything else that I can't get delivered.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the biggest concerns is what will happen when there isn't original reporting and what we're going to do, how we can have a democracy without basic core reporting in each community. And that part really scares me.
All right, so what happens if the bee is not able, it cannibalizes itself? In order to save money, it lets reporters go. Then what?
Well, that I wrote about this in the story that's appearing tomorrow. And I think there's an optimistic hope that with the And then the total revenue of the Bee, for instance, is around $200 million. But the editorial department's only about $20 million. And so I think online and with subscription revenue, you could probably replicate a reporting set, the kind of reporting that goes on locally online. And that's what I'm hoping can happen. Because otherwise we're in deep trouble.
Yeah, but how can you replicate by cutting deeply into the staff unless they're very overweight in terms of staff? And if staff is excessive, how can you really duplicate the level of reporting online if you are using fewer people?
Because it's not using fewer people. The total revenue of the Bee is $200 million.
Okay.
And what's great about the Internet is that you could replicate the same words that would appear in the Bee for $20 million. And that's all their editorial staff is. It's about 10% of the total revenue.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So and then if you just take subscription revenue that people are already paying, that's way over that. And then if you combine it with some percentage of with advertising online, you could probably fund some original reporting. That's what I think will happen.
When you're reading a newspaper online, compare it to reading it when you're reading hard copy. To me, it's a very different experience, and it's slower online than it is when you can eyeball a paper, scan it, look at what you're interested in, find the thing that you did not know you were looking for. Online, you have to really know what you're looking for.
Well, I also think things will be adapting to change some of that, but it's like the quality of information and what that is, and if you can't get anywhere other place, then let's get it online, whether or not to get it at all. I think that's going to be your choices.
My guest is Jeff von Kanel, and he is the president and CEO of the Sacramento News and Review, the Chico News and Review, the Reno News and Review. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, and if you have any questions or comments, you can express them here, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Westbound I-80 at Capitol. Looks like we have a two-car crash over there. Southbound 99 just north of eastbound 47.
Southbound 99 is center of 50, and we have a hit and run as we are the hit and run capital of California at College Oak and Orange Grove and Jackson Road at South Watt Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Party special occasion.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation, 349-1320 or 866-620-1320. My guest is Jeff Van Kanel. He is the president and CEO of the Sacramento, Reno, and Chico News and Review, Snooze and Review, we always say rather affectionately. I'm sure you hear that about a million times. Talking about the death of the daily newspaper, a prediction he made about 10 years ago in print, and a piece talking about that prediction and what you foresee for newspapers in tomorrow's edition of the News and Review.
That's right.
And if you have some comments you want to make, the lines are filling up. This is the place to make them. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to Gary in Sacramento. Gary, hi. You're live with Jeff and with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Gary.
Hi. I'm a little bit confused about the whole issue of newspapers. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
He's saying that the newspapers are dying. Yet I read a recent article about that the newspapers are really doing quite well. That if you consider the profit margin, they're doing better than other industries, such as the hotel industry and so on. And they're making up money by advertising on the web. So, and he's saying it's dying. So I don't understand.
Okay, so what's your answer to that?
Gary, that's a really good question. I mean, it's It's what it is. Traditionally, newspapers have had just one of the highest profit margins of any industry, closer to like the 20%, while other industries are, you know, like a 3 or 4%. And but what's occurring is that people, about 60% of people's the revenue comes from classifieds, and people know that the classifieds are going away really quickly, so they're anticipating going down significantly. And then, but the other thing that's occurring, and this is what I talk about in this story, is that instead of having a 20% profit, we're going to have a more reasonable profit. It's that what the managers are doing is cutting back the news operations instead of dismantling the operation to temporarily keep up profits so they can get their big buyouts. And so that's why the stock's dropping. That's why they're laying off so many people for that, instead of preparing themselves for the future, which would probably be more online.
Does that answer your question, Gary?
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Mike in SAC. Hi, you're live with Jeff Fontcano with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi. How are you, Enid? Hi, Jeff.
Good.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question in terms of how do you feel that the decline of newspapers in the United States dovetails with the general dumbing down of the population that's occurred over about the past 25 years, and specifically in terms of the typical reading level that most articles in major newspapers are now written at?
Well,
that is a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how related that is. I think it's one of the problems that daily newspapers are having is they're stuck in a style that was made before there was television and radio and stuff, with a kind of a pyramid style, and people often hear the information before they read it in a paper, and so it has much less relevance. In terms of the lowering of the less interest in civil debate, and that is, I don't know how much was right to the paper and other things that are going on in society, like people watching television instead of connecting up with their neighbors and things. So I think they're somewhat related, but that's beyond my comprehension.
But what about the dumbing down? Mike's question is a good question about the dumbing down of the population in the last 20 years. So you have a lot of different factors happening at once. Mike, I thank you for the call. You have newspaper sales. Our circulation is in decline. Book sales are in decline.
Are book sales in decline?
Yes. Year to year, they're down, I don't know, 2 or 3% from last year. And so the emphasis is on the blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, everything is more and more narrowly focused to the blockbuster,
right,
whether it's film, whether it's books. I think the issue for theater, you know, people aren't going. And there's it's a moment when there's a huge cultural shift.
Mm-hmm. So, it's definitely happening.
And I think people don't feel like they have to read a newspaper in order to be up to speed in what's going on. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Omar and Zach, hi. You're live with Jeff Fontcano with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Omar.
Hi, Omar.
Hi, Enid. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I had a comment about the letters published in Sacramento News and Review. I thought it was unfair to criticize those letters, just because I think everyone's entitled to his own opinion. That's for one. And I'll give you an example from your show. A while ago, you were talking about this French writer that called the Muslim woman in Europe breeding like rats, and you thought she was gutsy. And in the same time, Jesse Jackson had commented about the Jews in New York, and you criticized them. And I'm a Muslim myself, and I wasn't offended by the fact that you praised that French writer.
She's not a French writer. She's an Italian writer, and everybody considers her gutsy, and her name is Oriana Fallaci. She made a whole career of being gutsy, of interviewing people like Henry Kissinger and so on. And so when they're teaching the art of the interview, they always recommend her books on interviewing. So I happen to quote that. She said something that a lot of people feel and nobody would say. I don't know if I agree with it or I disagree with it. I think the point she was trying to make in rather a blunt fashion was that in terms of birth rates, you're going to see an influx of Muslims in Western Europe. That's what and she was very angry at Muslims when she said it. Do I condone what she said? I didn't condone it. I didn't condemn it.
Right. I just think that everyone's entitled to be one-sided on a certain topic, and you know, I wasn't offended when you said that she was gutsy, and in the same time, you were criticizing Jesse Jackson. You didn't.
I was. I didn't criticize her, and I criticized Jesse Jackson. You got that right, Omar. It's what happens, and if you disagree, you are always free to call, and we get to slug it out on the air.
For me, I think anyone that says that talks that generalizes talks about a certain race in a bad way and generalizes a bad statement on a certain race, I think it's disgusting. But I mean,
well, you're entitled to that, and I'm not, and I am not saying that you're wrong either.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm saying, because I've been listening to your show for the longest time, and I love your show because I thought you were neutral, and I thought you didn't take sides. You were pretty fair about talking about certain topics, but I just thought when you talked about this, I wasn't offended, and I didn't take it personal or anything, because you were entitled for your own opinion, and that's all I have to say.
Well, I am entitled to my own opinion, and that is what I express on a daily basis here, and you are always free to express your own opinion as well, and we might not always agree. We might agree to disagree, but you will always be able to express your opinion here.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Omar. 349-1320-866-626-1320. If I were to ask you, Jeff Unkainal, president and CEO of the Sacramento News and Review, this News and Review, what the winning formula is for, in a time when people don't think it's important to read newspapers, it doesn't have the same cachet it once did. You know, in the old days of, when TV was first came on the scene, maybe in the 50s or so, the programming was really high quality, and the reason it was so high quality is only rich people could afford to buy TV sets, and these were people who were more educated, and that was what TV played to. Well, it's a different story now with television. There are still some wonderful things on TV, but there's also a lot of junk on TV. So what does it take now at a time when you don't have to be thought, you don't have to read a newspaper or a book or to be thought smart or educated? In fact, sometimes it works against you. What's the secret to keeping a weekly going? What would you advise to keep a daily more interesting?
Let me speak for what I think that we try to do at the News Review. It's we've been thinking a lot about this because obviously there's going to be a lot of things changes coming up in 2007 with the media, all the changes going on in the media. And when we first started the paper, Alternative Papers in 1973, we were in the war in Vietnam. We had really dirty air. It was beginning the women's movement. It was beginning the environmental movement. And I think there was a period where, a period of darkness, really, where people felt alone and very isolated. And when we first started the alternative papers, there was this sense that you could really, with almost like a flashlight in the darkness of covering different things were important and kind of different kind of reporting, and people could connect up with other people who were like themselves and try to figure out how to work, figure out what to do, and that they weren't alone. And that was just a tremendous liberation, the beginning of the papers. And I think now we're in the same boat. I mean, we're in this awful war in Iraq. We have global warming. We have leadership that seems to be like pigs at the trough, who don't care about us, and there is a sense,
and are incompetent at no extra charge.
And so I think the role that we have in 2006 is similar to the role that we had in 1973, which is really to believe and have faith in the individuals that they will want to do the right thing and give them information so they can figure out what to do, because they can't trust the people in authority. And that's still, and I think that is still the heart of what we're at. And part of it is like we want to adapt and change what we're doing. That's when I'm fascinated by religion and bringing those people and getting dialogue with them and kind of moving out of just covering on politics.
Let's head over to the phones and to Nina in Sacramento. Nina, hi, you're live with Jeff Unkainal and with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Nina.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was just calling because I really enjoy reading the News and Review.
Oh, thank you.
It's all the articles are very interesting, enlightening, and you feel like you're getting some real news, some real information. I don't feel like they tiptoe around the issues. They directly hit on points that are just interesting, things that you wouldn't even, that should stand out in the community, and they don't. They seem to get brushed over by it.
Nina, you're breaking up, but I think we get the gist of what you're saying, and I thank you for calling.
Thank you.
If you were giving advice to the bee, what would it be?
I would say instead of cutting back the editorial staff, increase it. I would say it's stop these bonuses to your executives and get more focused.
For falling circulation?
Yeah, it's like, how
I wish I could get that. How can I get that bonus for falling circulation?
Well, falling circulation, they lost 25% of their stock evaluation, and he got $1 million bonus. I mean, that is obscene.
And the market's high. There are predictions that it's going to zoom downward, but correct. I love the language of the stock market. It will correct itself. There'll be a correction.
And then you had the people. You talked to the staff people at the Bee, and they care. They care about what they're doing. It's the management that doesn't. That's what's so disheartening.
Did they try to put you out of business?
Oh yeah.
Tell me.
Well, from the very beginning. The head of the Bee took me out to lunch, and before we started the paper, and said, "We take you coming to town very seriously." And I said, "You got to be kidding! If I can get 1% of the revenue in Sacramento, ad revenue, I'd be stunned." And
okay, I'm going to stop you right here because I want to hear the story about how the Bee came after you.
Okay,
and we will do that as we continue. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. My guest, Jeff Von Kanel, the president and CEO of the Sacramento News and Review. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. It looks like we've got beautiful weather coming our way on Thursday. Lows tonight, 50, highs tomorrow, right around 62. Now we're going to see scattered showers Friday. A little bit on Saturday, maybe evening, Sunday morning, though we're going to see the same. Our traffic slow south end, 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. It looks like we also have southbound Cap City Freeway just north of E Street and southbound I-5 just south of Pocket Road. There is a vehicle on the right-hand side blocking freeway service. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them. Artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, to folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities,
facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate or a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to sh- Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Merry Christmas, baby.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, joining me in the studio, Jeff Von Kanel, who is the president and CEO of the Sacramento News and Review, and two others as well, Chico and Reno. And when we last left each other, I asked you the question as to whether or not you are a gnat compared to the Sacramento V.
A small gnat.
You are just a journalistic gnat. And my question was, have they ever gone after you? And you said, yes. So tell us the story.
Well, I had the paper up in Chico, and so I was coming down here to start the paper, and then Frank Whitaker, who was the publisher of the Bee, then took me out to lunch before he started, and then I thought it was going to be a friendly lunch, and he then grilled me about questions, and I didn't answer what we were going to be doing, and then he finally said, you know, we take you coming to town really seriously, and I was kind of stunned, and I said, Frank, if I get 1% of the advertising here in Sacramento, I'll be just astounded. And he goes, 1% is 1%, and there ought to be a way I can string a bunch of publications together to prevent you from getting that. I go, wow.
String a bunch of publications to do what?
A bunch of publications or things that prevent you from doing that.
Oh,
that's what, like, Ticket is about. And so,
they publish on the weekends.
Which on Friday, and that was meant to go after us. And so, so Ticket comes out. And, you know, it's not that good, but then they started going to our clients. This is our first year of publishing and saying, and they're offering special introductory rates at the Bee, which we had like a 20,000, 30,000 circulation, and the Bee had like, you know, 200,000, 300,000 circulation. And they're offering our rates to our customers. To their customers. And,
so deep discounted.
Yeah, pretty deep. And so
if you could reach 200 or 300,000 people for the same price that you could pay at the Sacramento News and Review, guess what? Guess where you're going to advertise. So how did you survive that?
Well, my ad staff was all freaked out. And I said, well, okay, I got to figure out how to compete with them. So I published these full-page ads in my paper with the headline saying, why, after 137 years, does the Bee need special introductory rates? Here's the amount you'd pay if you bought one ad in the Bee. Here's the amount you'd pay if you bought $5 million ads in the Bee. And here's the amount you'd pay if you qualified for the special introductory rate. If you're not getting it, call your Bee rep now and ask them why.
So, in other words, the longtime advertisers who were paying the high rate now said, why can't I get this special, deeply discounted introductory rate?
Well, and then who really helped us out was Tower, Because after Russ Solomon saw this, he or somebody called up the bee and said, we want the special interest rate. And the bee said, no, you can't have it. You've been a long-time client. He goes, well, then I'm pulling all my ads. I'm going to give them to News and Review. And he said, well, you still can't have it. So he pulled all his ads and gave them to us. And so our ad lineage shot up. And recently what the bee's been doing, why I'm on this topic, is... We, of course, dominate restaurants and nightclubs. And mm-hmm. so the bee's going to restaurant and nightclub in adult categories mm-hmm. and offering 80% off their regular rates. So ads that no person has to pay $1,000 for mm-hmm. cost $200 with the bee now in my categories. And so
are you noticing a decline in your category or is it maintaining?
We went down in restaurants somewhat, but then what we did is I got mad, and so we're going after real estate, which is made up more than that. So we've got way more real estate ads, and the bee's losing money on restaurants. I mean,
the San Francisco Chronicle, we talked earlier about it. It's on life support in a way. I mean, it looks really anorexic. And how much is it losing per day or per week?
I don't know the exact figures. I know when they went to union negotiations asking for concessions from the unions, they were saying they're losing $2 million a week.
Yeah. How long can they stay in business, losing $2 million a week? And why are they in business losing $2 million a week? Does it have anything to do with Dean Singleton, who is from Denver, and Media News, and all of the deal that he made with Hearst, circling the Bay Area with these various newspapers? I think one of them is the Contra Costa. Now I forget all of his papers, but maybe Contra Costa Times, mm-hmm. maybe. And the San Jose Merc and a bunch of other papers that are in the Bay Area, sort of around the San Francisco.
That whole deal is so screwy. It's like, first, it's part of the reason that it would not be considered a monopoly situation, even though he bought all these other papers that he has, would be is because the Chronicle is there. And then later on, when this deal is kind of unfolding, you see that the Chronicle is part of the deal. And so they're still waiting for the total clearance from the Department of Justice. And
well, Clint Riley is suing, yeah, as he did
right,
before.
Right. And so how that plays out, I don't know. But how that is not a monopoly situation, I don't know how you could define that as not monopolistic.
You said earlier that in trying to satisfy its shareholders, and the stock is down, 20-25%, the McClatchy stock, you're saying that they're doing the wrong things. They're gutting the paper so that in a post newspaper environment, mm-hmm. when you don't have to deal with distribution and printing costs because you're now on the net, why will they be poorly positioned? Why are they cannibalizing themselves in that kind of an environment?
What stuns me is I think the head of organizations should have some stewardship for the longevity of the organization and the employees and the community and for the shareholders. And so, but if they're personally getting paid for what the stock's going to do over the next quarter or the next two quarters, the next year, and so all they try to do is make that
pump
happen.
Pump it up on steroids.
Pump it up on steroids. And so then I think you get this very bizarre situation where is essentially they artificially keep the price high from what it should be, and so they allow the current shareholders to swindle the future shareholders. And then
what does the product look like?
It looks like garbage. I mean, so the people that bought the B stock, a year ago, now lost 25% of their valuation. The people that bought Clear Channel when it was 90 was down to 38. Uh-huh, I mean, like, where is the right and wrong there? That is like, they were misrepresenting what their situation was, and that's just immoral.
If you were running the B, if you were Gary Pruitt, what would you do?
One is I would beef up the editorial staff, and then secondly, I would, prepare for the future and then go to the stockholders and say, we can't have 20% profit, we can have a lower profit, we can maintain the institution.
What would you do editorially? How would you make that newspaper dazzle?
Well, that, I don't know. That, I mean, it's...
sometimes we tease and call it the B because it's not an A. But I didn't say that, did I?
No, yeah. I didn't say that. That's more important than you not saying that.
I mean, as mainstream publications do, they try to appeal to all people. And so, you don't see that. You would love to see more elegant writing in a newspaper, more sassy writing, more sassiness, more feistiness. And we are the capital of the fourth, fifth, sixth largest economy in the universe. and we would like to see a newspaper that reflects that august status.
That'd be good.
Before I let you go, I have to please comment briefly on the Los Angeles Times. I love reading the Los Angeles Times.
Oh.
And the fact that it's up for sale, the fact that the Tribune, that they're not getting the buyers that they were hoping for because these are dinosaurs. I mean, what does this tell us about where we are in this world? How are we going to be the poorer if we don't have newspapers as we know them? Are we going to be the poorer, or are we just going to be different?
No, I think it's when I look at that, the fear of not having original porting in every community is horrible. And what was really brought home to me once when I argued with my very conservative brother, if we can have this argument, as long as we're going back and forth and quoting the Wall Street Journal to each other, we have a good discussion and we go back and
very
forth.
Very well written, except
it's
editorial pages are right wing.
But then when he talks, when he brings in Rush Limbaugh, then the discussion ends. And all, it's like
I refer to him as the minister of OxyContin. Oxy incontinence, yes.
And the discussion consists of me saying that's not true. And so we have no dialogue, and there's no way, and so that's my concern if we lose the daily papers, is we're not going to have that original reporting, and that's why I'm hoping we can do something online to make that happen.
Jeff Von Kanel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
I have enjoyed this conversation immensely. And I just want to let you know that you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. I'm just going to love the weather on through this weekend. Going to be a little bit showery coming Friday. Sunday, we're going to see some scattered showers as well. The lows tonight, 50. And highs on Thursday, 62. Our traffic, southbound 99, right there by Fruit Ridge Road, southbound I-5, just north of Laguna Boulevard. And John from Elk Grove, he always calls me about this exact spot. It looks like, you know what, I bet we're going to get a call from him in about 1 minute. We're dying to know exactly what it is, but the hit and run has caused injuries, and it looks like there's emergency vehicles on scene. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
This is News 10 Now.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Subliminal mind, America.
whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
KCTC, Sacramento's left channel. Left channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. We don't know what happened to Senator Tim Johnson, but his office says he did not have a stroke or a heart attack. The South Dakota Democrat was rushed to a Washington hospital today after developing speech problems during a conference call with news outlets, including CBS Radio's Yankton affiliate, WNAX.
The money was proposed to be provided a year ago.
Larry Dirksen of affiliate KOTA was also on the call.
I think the rest of the reporters online at that time felt something was going on when he tried to ask for more questions. Couldn't get that out too well.
Johnson's press secretary says he walked back to his office after the call but didn't look well. If Johnson were to be incapacitated, the Republican governor of South Dakota could appoint a replacement, and that would deprive the Democrats of their newly won majority. President Bush has a message for the troops in Iraq.
I'm listening to a lot of advice
to develop a strategy to help you succeed.
Mr. Bush spent 2 hours at the Pentagon today, but said he's not going to be rushed into any decisions on strategy.
I put off my speech, and one of the main reasons why is I really do want the new Secretary of Defense to have time to get to know people and hear people and be a part of this deliberation, and he will not be sworn in until next Monday.
CBS News has learned that one likely outcome is a surge of 15,000 to 20,000 U.S. troops to secure Baghdad. Federal health investigators have focused on a new culprit in the Taco Bell E. coli outbreak.
We think that the lettuce is the likely vehicle, although we're still continuing our investigation to make sure that we can confirm that.
Dr. Christopher Braden at the Centers for Disease Control. Taco Bell President Greg Creed says they've gotten a new supplier for lettuce, but it's not coming off the menu.
It's not necessary for us to remove lettuce, and lettuce is on 70% of the products that are sold at Taco Bell, but it's not necessary to do so. We've already made the switch of suppliers, we said, along with the other produce supply in the 4 states that have been affected.
Actor Peter Boyle has died after battling multiple myeloma and heart disease. He played Frank Barone in the hit TV comedy Everybody Loves Raymond. Over a career that spanned decades, Boyle played everything from Senator Joseph McCarthy to the monster in Young Frankenstein. Leonard Maltin is film critic for Entertainment Tonight.
He was a versatile actor, though I think he tended to play ordinary guys, everyday guys, the blue-collar guy.
Boyle was the only Raymond cast member who never won an Emmy, but he got one for a guest appearance on The X-Files. He was 71. The Dow up nearly 2 points to close at 12,317. The Nasdaq gained a fraction today. It finished at 2,432. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Looks like happy holidays for retailers. The Commerce Department says retail sales jumped 1% in November, the biggest increase since July. But at the same time many Americans are spending, some have trouble making their mortgage payments. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has that.
Two trends reported by the Mortgage Bankers Association. Delinquency rates are up. It's now almost 5% of people whose payment is 30 days or more past due. This appears to be homeowners who stretch their budgets to buy with adjustable rate loans. The rates went up. They can't keep up. However, in this past week, the number of refinance applications rose sharply. The lenders say people are realizing rates have fallen. Most are going for fixed rates this time. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian has served more than 8 years for helping a terminally ill man commit suicide. Now, Michigan prison officials say he'll be paroled in June. Kevorkian is 78 now and in poor health. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
5:06, 6 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 3 of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can join the conversation. If you're in the area code, it is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. I'm laughing because I needed some cough drops and I got some Post-its instead, so I think I'm going to try and swallow a Post-it and see what happens. See if it sticks to my ribs. If you're just joining us today, well, first of all, I want to make an announcement. On Friday, you're going to be lucky to have Air America instead of Enid Live, and I will be back with you on Monday. So we have today and tomorrow to talk about what we have to talk about. And if you're just tuning in, you've missed Jeff Von Kanel, and we had a pretty good discussion about newspapers and media, which I love talking about anyway because I'm a big newspaper reader, perhaps the only one left in America, or one of the four left in America. All right, here's a story I like a lot. Male chimpanzees prefer older females as mates, according to a new study. We don't know what the appeal is. We are theorizing that experience could be the appeal. Some men know that older women make beautiful lovers, and apparently scientists say male chimps feel the same way. In contrast to humans, chimpanzee males prefer older, not younger, females. So none of these male chimpanzees are running off with Amber or Jennifer, who are, you know, 30 years their junior. In chimp society, the Golden Girls and not Baywatch would be hot stuff. Human males, of course, generally like younger women. I don't know. You know, they do. But a lot of older women like younger men, and that is... that's been happening lately, and there isn't the same stigma as there once was. It's not, you know, it's not quite as okay if as an older man marrying a younger woman, but it's getting there. And you might want to comment on that. 349-1320. What we have been talking about, the program opened today. One of you called in. We weren't going to be talking about this, but we started to talk about it, about my name calling. Well, I called the Governor Schnortzy, Schwarzenschnorr. Other people have other names for the governor. And I talk about Doolittle as Deep Doolittle, and I call the president Dickie, which a lot of us are now calling the president Dickie, and some of you don't like that. Now, the right wing and the minister of incontinence across the way, or OxyContin, Mr. Peer in a bottle, appear like no other peer. He is in his peer group, I guess. He is always calling people names, feminazis, and, you know, he's got all these names. And they have worked for him, and I do it because I'm puckish and because I love puns and I like to do it. I'm not saying that it always works, and it can get old quickly. But some of you took, you know, you slapped me down and you spanked me because because you thought that the right wing can do this. Because they are lower than snake poo in a wheel rut, but the left wing needs, I don't need to stoop to those levels, is what you were saying to me, which was a nice way of spanking me, I guess. But some of you called in to say, no, fight fire with fire, and it's salty, and it's a condiment, and it's fun to salt the conversation with that. So that's what we began talking about. But we were also in line with that. If you're talking about name calling, the right wing is going after Barack Obama because his middle name, his legitimate middle name is Hussein. Now, I'm not sure. I think I'm guessing Barack Obama is somewhere in his 40s. 40 years ago, 40-plus years ago, you weren't going to know about Saddam Hussein and that maybe making your child's middle name Hussein would perhaps not be great for his career prospects, particularly if he might be considering a presidential run. And what we talked about is also Jeff Greenfield's comments about Barack Obama, I guess lacking anything substantive to say. He compared Barack Obama's style of dress to the president of Iran, that they both wear shirts with the collar open, no tie. It's a good compromise. And so we were talking about that. We also were talking with Jeff Von Kanel, who is the president and CEO of both the Sacramento, Chico, and Reno News and Reviews. We were talking about the death of the daily newspaper, which is something he predicted in print about 10 years ago. Well, they're not dead yet, but there certainly has been a drop in circulation and in revenues. The San Francisco Chronicle, a newspaper I have written for in the interest of full disclosure and love reading, is pretty anorexic looking. There are hardly any ads in it. There's not much of a classified section. And at a time of year when advertisers, you know, make their big money, it is not thick with all that advertising that you get in the B, and particularly on Sundays when, gee, three-quarters of the B, I think, is advertising. So we've been discussing media, and I would like to add to the discussion. One of the things that we talked about this week was the fact that our food supply, you know, if you're looking at us, we, Americans, the USA, as a patient, look at our educational system. It doesn't get a passing grade most of the time. Look at our healthcare system. It's on life support. Look at our food supply. We're poisoning ourselves, whether it's the air that we are breathing. And there was a story in the Bee today, a school far from the Roseville railway yards, where apparently there is a lot of air pollution, has even higher air pollution. So we're killing ourselves. And always we say, oh, well, more jobs. We'll get more jobs. And if you're looking at the food situation, there's yet another E. coli breakout. Taco Bell thought that it was isolated to the scallions it was using and recalled all those scallions, and yet there's another breakout, I think, in other places, in other taco chains. And so you're looking at listeria in strawberries, and so Jamba Juice had to withdraw the strawberries. And there's so much mercury in the tuna fish that if you're pregnant, they don't want you to have too much of it. And if you're not pregnant, they don't want you to have too much of it either. And nobody is overseeing any of this. And so let me give you some examples of what's going on here and how politics has gotten in the way. Government's food safety program is underfinanced, poorly organized, more concerned with serving private interests than with protecting public health. It is time for the new Democratic Congress to reverse a decades-old weakening of regulations. This was written by Eric Schlosser, and I shared this with you some days ago, and he is the author of Fast Food Nation. I have interviewed him. He's talking about how over the past 40 years, the industrialization and centralization of our food system has greatly magnified the potential for big outbreaks. Today, only 13 slaughterhouses process the majority of beef consumed by 300 million Americans. And the fast food industry's demand for uniform products has incurred centralization in every agricultural sector. Fruits and vegetables are now being grown, packaged, and shipped like industrial commodities. As a result, a little contamination can go a long way. And what they are saying is that fruits and vegetables can be as dangerous for you as meat and Consumers Reports came out, of course, with a report that 83% of chickens are contaminated with bacteria. Even the premium chickens, when you get those chickens that you think are so fine and fancy and went to Ivy League schools, they'll kill you just as quickly. They'll make you just as sick as the cheesy chickens will, apparently. 83%. And I say this because we have now just had a situation. Oh, and there is so little inspection. The inspection force has been cut. The people who run the food industry get to decide the legislation. I mean, the fox is guarding the hen house, really, quite literally. And so 83% of the chickens, of course, are contaminated. Well, I'm looking at the paper, and I'm seeing how federal agents raided a bunch of meat processing plants in six states. They raided. I don't think that some of those meat processing plants have seen anybody inspecting them, or not much in the way of inspection, but boy, the federal agents came down hard on these meat processing plants. They targeted hundreds of suspected illegal immigrants. Wait a minute. If you're a contaminated chicken, the inspectors, the police, the people who haul you off to the pokey, they are not too interested. But you know, if you are maybe illegal, they are going to be right there. They ought to be looking at what's happening in these processing plants, what's going out of these processing plants, rather than the people who are working the line. The Department of Homeland Security's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division said an 11-month probe. They should be probing the food. Why aren't they probing the food? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. An 11-month probe, which required countless proctologists, they were all just probing around, and they discovered that large numbers of illegals obtained jobs at six Swift and Company plants by assuming the identities of lawful U.S. citizens and residents. It's horrible, thankless work. There are some people, actually, they were taking people out and they were isolating them. One report has it by skin color. So the darker you were, they thought that you were not legal. And there were a number of people who were legal who just happen to be dark-skinned. So you have that issue going on here. But they have conducted an 11-month probe to root out illegals from six Swift & Company meat processing plants. Let me ask you, why aren't they rooting out the bacteria? Why aren't they rooting out the corruption? Why aren't they rooting out the E. coli? Why aren't they inspecting for things like that? Is this a wonderful use of our funds right now? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. They're right there. They're right there. The working in these plants is supposed to be just a nightmare. You get all these repetitive stress injuries. People hurt themselves all the time because it's dangerous to do this. It's got to be not a lot of fun to smell the smells and, cattle exploding in your face. It's just got to be hideous. But the Department of Homeland Security, and here's what the administration is also doing. They think that there's a threat to the safety of our satellites. Yes, indeedy. We're going to protect our satellite. I don't think we're protecting our ports. I don't think that's happened yet. Certainly we're not protecting our food supply, but boy, we are making the universe safe from all these illegals. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320. If I didn't get sick eating the 83% of contaminated chickens, this would make me very sick. And these people are chickens. They are cowards. Marjorie and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Enid. I'm a nurse of many years, and my niece happens to have a doctor of public health, and the biggest way that E. coli is spread, I mean, everybody in nursing and the medical profession.
Wait, let me guess. Kissing. Oh, no.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
Yes, how is it?
Licking. They're licking each other. They're licking the chickens.
Licking those raw chickens. It's a new, bizarre, and very kinky sexual practice. All right, so how is E. coli spread?
They're not washing their hands after they go to the bathroom.
Well, that's true, and you see a lot of the spread of it in daycare centers because little kids are still learning how to do that.
Exactly.
And they're still learning how to use the bathroom, too, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
So are you saying, yes, but what about the contaminated animals to begin with? That all the E. coli in the processing, there is E. coli because they're exploding the innards and the,
Right, exactly.
The intestines and the...
It comes down on the farmers about that, the farmers that are growing this. I'm from a big farming family, and certainly my grandfather didn't raise his meat like this. But, they know when they're doing things wrong. But it's just like you said a few minutes ago, how often does anybody come in and inspect anymore? They're worried about the satellites. They're worried about illegal immigration. But it's like, are they worried about the mad cow disease, which we have abundantly?
Yes, in this administration. Many, many mad cows in Washington. Well, you're right. You're quite right. It is exactly the same kind of thinking that gets us into an irrelevant war.
Right.
I mean, this is irrelevant. This is an industry that is going begging for people to work in it. It's horrible, not terrifically remunerative work, and a lot of people who go into the work are not here legally. It's the same thing with working in the fields.
That's exactly right.
Now, Marjorie, I thank you very much for the call. Vegetables are nearly as dangerous as undercooked meat, according to a new study. Fresh raw vegetables. You think you're being healthy when you eat your fresh veggies like Mom told you to do? Like lettuce, spinach, tomatoes, green onions. We're responsible for the illness or death of nearly 19,000 people nationwide over a five-year period. Vegetables are nearly as dangerous as undercooked meat when it comes to transmitting deadly food diseases like E. coli, salmonella, hepatitis, according to a study. All right, so if you think you've got E. coli, or how do you, when you wash your vegetables, which most of us, I think, just do under running water, and I grew up on a farm, So what, Enid? So if you just rinse your vegetables under running water, I don't think that... to get rid of E. coli in meat, you've got to cook it to a certain temperature. What do you do to get rid of E. coli in produce, if that's what's going on? Kate in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Listen, the reason I'm calling is because I know your views about illegal aliens, and it really doesn't matter if I agree with them or not. But the investigation into the Swift plant really was into the fact that they are falsifying documents and identity theft. And that is wrong whether you're legal or illegal. I mean, I don't care. I don't want somebody using my Social Security number to work.
Well, how many did they really find who were doing that? How many have we heard the total number? Because I don't see it here.
Well, no, there weren't. They didn't put out any numbers in the articles that I read.
Well, don't you think that's interesting that they didn't put out any numbers? If they had a lot of numbers, I think that was the first thing you'd read. You'd read it high up in the piece, too.
Well, you have a...
And I want to add something to the discussion of illegals, by the way. And I don't call them illegal aliens. I call them just illegals or undocumented illegals. But anyway, illegals add $18 billion, $18 billion with a B, dollars, to the economy of Texas. They add $18 billion to the economy of Texas, Kate.
Yeah, and how much do they add to our taxes? For all their welfare and their free medical care.
No, they're adding $18 billion to the economy of Texas. So you got to get your facts straight. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Lots of times they pay taxes, but because they're not here legally, they can't collect any of the benefits. Patricia in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Patricia. You're live with Enid.
In regards to the E. coli breakout, you know, Enid, this is really important that people understand, your listeners understand that government regulation is so important because corporations, these food manufacturers or farmers, whatever you're going to call them, they are producing for profit, not for the good, and sometimes that profit is not for the good of the public. So they will side, you know, they will go,
But wait a minute, you're not suggesting that anybody's deliberately trying to contaminate the food.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've been listening to, you know, what's been happening and what the source.
Well, I think they found out, or at least it was. I think the Bee did this story. It was the only place I saw it, and that was that there was in the spinach. Remember the E. coli in the spinach story?
Right.
All right.
Correct.
What they found out is that in one place where the E. coli was suspected of being centered, there was a sewage treatment situation that was very close to where the spinach was being grown, and that's
right.
Where they think the contamination happened. I don't remember how that got resolved ultimately, but certainly that becomes an economic issue because maybe it's expensive to route the sewage in some other way or to reroute your growing field. I don't know, but yes, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're most likely you're right. That probably was the main source to it. I heard other things about, you know, the workers, you know, possibly the workers not having the ability to wash their hands or use restrooms. You know, they're using illegal workers sometimes for some of the farm work. And so they use their restroom there where they're growing some of these plants. I mean, there have been so many speculations. I don't know.
I don't know either, but it would seem to me that for the E. coli to be that massively distributed, that it'd have to be more than a few people not washing their hands.
Yeah.
But I want to ask the question. All right, go ahead. Please go on. Was there something else you wanted to add?
No, I just wanted to add, you know, if we remember that new regulation with trans fats in New York City, I think that's great. I mean, I know some people think we should be able to eat what we want, but I think if something's bad for us, I think that's great.
Well,
what is
worse than cigarettes? You know, in Chicago, foie gras has been outlawed because it's very cruel to the geese from which it is made. And
right.
In New York City, in restaurants, trans fat is outlawed because it's unhealthy. It is a slippery slope, but it's certainly fodder for discussion. Patricia, I thank you for the call. And the other question I want to ask is if you think there's E. coli or you want to guard against E. coli in your veggies, how do you do it? Anybody who is a public health person or who knows how to do that, what is the answer? I know if it's in meat, you've got to cook it to a certain temperature, but you're not going to do that if you're wanting to make a salad. John in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for being so patient.
Oh, not a problem. Hey, I was going to talk about the newspaper, and it's slow death, and I kind of share your sentiment, but only on a nostalgic level.
Okay.
That I think we should be more concerned about what the content is, not how we're getting it. Because when you look at it from just a completely objective standpoint, a printed paper newspaper is a fairly archaic way of delivering information. And in this day and age when we've got so many electronic ways of delivering the information that it's more efficient, cheaper. I mean, a newspaper is obsolete by the time it lands on your doorstep.
So you're saying we're still going to read. We're just the printing. You save a lot of printing costs if you're a newspaper and you're just delivering it electronically. You certainly save all the trucks, the circulation costs, the cost of paper, which is going up, up, up. for newspapers. So all of that is saved. What, if we were making a column, what do we lose as readers? I can tell you one thing, but maybe these are just very superficial things. One of the things you lose when you see a paper spread out, I think it's a lot faster for your eye to eyeball that paper.
And, oh, I completely agree.
And
it's
way slower online. It's way slower if you want to download the story. I think it's very, and we have very fast systems here at AM 1320, but it's still way slower. I can absorb it much more quickly if I can open it up. And anyway, I like to lay down and read the newspaper, which you cannot do with a which you cannot do as easily or even at all with a monitor.
Oh, I agree. But again, those are all aesthetic things. I mean, if you take into consideration the resources that it takes, the energy that it takes to produce a physical paper, the waste that it produces from, well, once all these papers are finished with, you've got to do something with all this waste, either recycle it or dump it in a landfill or something. And then you've got the cost, the gasoline that it takes to deliver the papers to the various locations.
Well, that's true. There's global warming. That's true.
Yeah, it's a very wasteful and really environmentally unfriendly way to deliver information. Now, let's say it's much easier to read on paper. So what I do is I haven't bought a Sacramento Bee in years. I will go to their website. I will find a story that I want to read, and I'll print it out, and I'll read it. And I have much less paper to dispose of at the end of the day.
But you know what? You can just read a sentence or two, and you can get something from a story, and it enriches your life. Now, the cost to benefit ratio, I see the point you're making, and I can't argue with it. But I guess I'm nostalgic for the demise of newspapers, even though they're not quite on life support.
Sure, and I am too. I mean, but it's kind of like, you know, lamenting the death of the 8-track tape. I mean, the world moves on, and I think that newspapers have been around for so long, for probably, 200 years or more, that it's sort of been omnipresent in our lives that we can't imagine it not being there. But there was a time when every household churned their own butter and spun their own thread and everything else, and that's gone away.
And often made their own music, too. Amuse themselves. We didn't all tune into the same stale, you know, four ideas that were on TV.
Right.
John,
so touching on your point about how television quality used to be so much better and now is a bunch of garbage, I think that's what we should be worrying about, not how we're getting that information, but
the quality of the information.
Exactly, because there's great stuff on the Internet. There's wonderful news sources on the Internet, and there's a bunch of trash on the Internet. And that's what we need to be worrying about, not are we getting it on paper or not. We really need to be worrying about what's the information that's being disseminated, because right now it's a very dangerous thing.
We're going to have to, John, we're going to have to leave it there, but I'm delighted that you called. Thanks for bringing up some excellent points. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa
Webb. Enid, our last caller sounded just like John Malkovich. I swear to God, I mean, he even had the...
John Malkovich calling us today?
Oh my goodness! Well, because John Malkovich continually uses the word lamenting, and that's pretty cool. And you know what? What is the word I'm looking for? I'm accident prone, South Bend 99. We have no phallic symbols today, though, thank goodness. Florin Road just west of Macomber, we have a two-car crash. Hit and run, capital of California. Florin Road at East Parkway, South Bend I-5 just south of Pocket Road, and South Bend I-5 at Q Street. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Party, special occasion.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $100. $750. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Talk to Enid now,
3:34 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, bringing you tidings of comfort and joy until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And Dan, who is new to us this week, mentioned that it's really great. We're talking about newspapers, and we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about this raid on these food processing plants, Swift Meat processing plants for illegals. They never go in there to inspect the meat. hardly, but they're in there trying to pull out the illegals like it's a Homeland Security issue. How about a food security issue? But Dan mentions, well, we were also talking about the demise of newspapers. If you were listening in our 4 o'clock hour, Jeff Von Kanel, who is the president and CEO of the News and Review, Sacramento News and Review, was in. He predicted the demise of the daily paper about 10 years ago. Well, they're not dead yet, but they're not in vibrant health either. And Dan says, newspapers feel good. There's a good feel. And you know, in the food industry, there's something that they call mouth feel. When they are creating a kind of a product, oh, you know, a trans fat, something that's not good for you, mouth feel is a really an important part of the equation. It's got to, you know, with ice cream, with a lot of foods. Those of you who know about this, I'd love to hear from you. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but have you noticed that the newspapers are getting skinnier and skinnier? They're not as wide as they were because the cost of paper is so high. It's a way for newspapers in a declining circulation and a declining revenue environment to save some money. And the Wall Street Journal, which is the last of the big white dinosaurs, they're narrowing the paper, I think, after the first of the year. They never mentioned that economy, that it was a cost issue, I don't think. When they talked about something else, but I don't think they mentioned what a cost issue it was, although obviously it is. And so Dan was saying, you know, it's a phantom limb kind of a thing. The newspaper downsizes, and he was talking about his paper, and it has gotten narrower, but your hand wants to hold a wider paper. I said, sounds like phantom limb disease. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Aaron in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. The gentleman before, John, I think his name was.
Right.
He may have not given any thought. Maybe he doesn't care. But there are an awful lot of people who don't have their own computers, believe it or not, even in California. Not just the homeless, not just the elderly. There are people who simply can't afford it. And my other thought.
Well, that is true, and I hadn't thought so much about that because they're so ubiquitous. But you can go to the library, but then there are people who are disabled and can't do that.
And you have to wait in line. You have to get make reservations for the computer that is available at the library. I mean, I'm delighted that they have them. I love libraries. I also love newspapers. But what's going to happen? What kind of protection are there? There are laws that are supposed to protect journalists who print stories and do investigative journalism, of which I'm old enough to remember when that was done.
Let me tell you, this is a big issue for the San Francisco Chronicle, and we have had Lance Williams on and his partner, haven't had Mark Fenerwada, but they got leaks on the Barry Bonds grand jury testimony. They may very well go to prison. There have been more and more and more incursions into press freedom and stemming from this administration.
Exactly. Yes. And that is what terrifies me, is that the protections that should have been accorded to them, well, look, they wiretap us without warrants. I mean, up and down the line, this administration doesn't give a tinker's damn, I think I'm allowed to say that.
You are.
About anybody else's rights. They want what they want, and they don't care what they do to get it. And
are you suggesting, Aaron, that if we go to electronic newspapers and there are no print papers, that newspapers are less effective in pushback, although I don't see how much they can be, how much more less effective they can be than they have been in this administration? But is that what you're suggesting, that they're going to be less effective as there are more incursions into press freedom, more reporters are threatened with jail? There's one guy who's in his 20s. He's in the pokey right now in San Francisco, and he's in the pokey because he saw something go down. He had some video of it. What aired is what he shared with the authorities, and what didn't, the outtakes, he didn't. And there are rules about that and laws about it, and they still wanted it, and they were able to send him off to the pokey until he makes that stuff available, and he's not going to do it. So I don't know how long he's in the pokey for. Could be a year or so.
That's my bigger, more frightening point is, one, not everyone has computers or is going to get them. I doubt that John is going to go for taxes to make sure one has computers. But even when we do, what kind of protection, when they start funneling down our access to what is available on the computer, what are we going to do then?
Well, I think it's not so different in that respect from newspapers, but you bring up a good point about the accessibility if you don't have a computer, and I thank you, Aaron. I wonder what the numbers are of people, the percentages now of people who don't have computers. And I know, around here, can I tell you, we often have computers we're giving away to staff, and probably they go begging. And I saw a piece in the paper where there are going to be computers given away, all bundled up together. They make a nice Christmas present, and I think these are used in state facilities, and you know they've upgraded and so on. And I can't remember. They have auctions every 6 weeks or so of file cabinets and office stuff. This is under the state auspices, I believe. And so a lot of people are able to furnish their offices for not a whole lot of money, and they're giving away computers. So just to give you a heads up, and they are accepting donations as well. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Adam in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. I wanted to call in and talk about the same issue as the woman before. I know a lot of people that make choices in their lives, and they're not necessarily poor, but they're, you know, watching their budget about whether they're going to have internet access or not. And there's a large group of people that will not be getting news if newspapers go away. And they don't have access to the internet.
What about going to the library where you can go? Although usually there's don't they say you can only be on for an hour in a lot of libraries?
Even that, libraries are getting harder to find, and it's cumbersome to get to and from for working poor people. And it'll exclude their opportunity to get news, where you can walk up to the corner market or even the corner newsstand and just, for 35 or 50 cents, whatever it is, now you can buy one.
Well, you make a good point, and I thank you for making it, Adam. 349-1320. I guess we're so used to having so many computers around, we don't think of those. Ted in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ted.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I have a couple pros and cons comments on the same topic. A positive aspect of newspapers, I find, is the longevity of different aspects of a newspaper. In my mind, I can feel... visualize the newspapers like on the day of the assassination of President Kennedy or the first landing on the moon. These images of the newspapers stay with you forever, and I'm not sure if we're going to have that longevity with the internet pictures.
Well, but is that a reason for what if global warming is as real as everybody says it is, and printing newspapers only adds to global warming? I mean, I don't know. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I see what you're saying. It's an nostalgic kind of thing. You like the hard copy. Some people have computers and they don't have printers. So if you want to, if you want to keep a story, a recipe, a piece of information that will be useful to you, if you don't have a printer, it's harder to do. But it's a good point that you raised, Ted. I thank you for making. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa Webb.
But I got to tell you something, Enid. One of the most amazing pieces of technology is I really like the mini disc, but burning everything to disc, I have hundreds of recipes burned to disc, and I just pop it in my computer. I'm like, oh, I want that one sugar cookie recipe. So I pop my CD in, and there it is.
Ooh.
It's amazing.
Too complicated for me. I'd also have to learn how to cook.
You know what? I do know for a fact, Enid, you know how to drive, and very well. Thank God we make it here every day. Southbound 99 just north of Fruit Ridge Road. Two-car crash slowing things down. Eastbound 50 just east of Sunrise Boulevard, and westbound 50 just east of Jefferson Boulevard. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320,
Sacramento's Left Channel.
Want to get to the
internet? It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned together.
ask this. If you're on personal internet, that is you and me. You and me, the internet. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now,
349-1320.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Here's what we are talking about at the moment. We are talking about two things, really. We've been talking about the death of newspapers, and the conversation started in our 4 o'clock hour when we were joined by the president of the Sacramento News and Review. He's president and CEO. And he had made a prediction about 10 years ago, and he's got a follow-up piece in the News and Review tomorrow, in tomorrow's edition. Talking about the demise of the daily paper, and he talked about how the Sacramento Bee went after him, even though he was a little gnat compared to the Bee's mighty power. And while newspapers are not quite on life support, they are certainly in very changed circumstances. And there might be a time when we don't have the traditional newspaper, the kind of newspaper we are accustomed to. And some of you are calling in with some very good observations that not everybody has a computer. You go to the library, maybe you only get to be on the computer for an hour when you and you have to book it in advance. If you don't have a computer, maybe it's hard for you to get over there, and so on. We are also talking about something that we talked about earlier in the week. We talked about the food safety issues. We talked about the fact that, 83% of our chickens are contaminated. There's a lot of E. coli. Every day there's a new E. coli story. It's in the spinach. It's in the scallions. We don't know where it is. And there's very little food inspection. And it is the inspectors have caved to the industry. And we are feeling the effects of it. And so comes along a whole massive crackdown on about six Swift meatpacking plants for food safety. Absolutely not. They're going to go after illegals. They're not going after the food safety. They when do they come in and inspect? Once every 10 years in some instances. Not in the meatpacking industry, but I heard some statistic along those lines. I mean, it's shocking. It is really shocking. So they're pulling out illegals, and instead of inspecting our food, they're inspecting for illegals, and now they're going to go after the safety of our satellites. Not our ports, but our satellites. They are really in space, these people. 349-1320. If newspaper owners or CEOs are being rewarded with huge bonuses for their incompetence, this administration as well. It must be a trend. Bill in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, Enid?
Good.
Listening to some of your past callers, and I just had a couple of comments. The one lady who called a while ago talking about... one of the things she mentioned was possibly a program to give computers to people who don't have them. And thinking about computers, they've probably been in wide distribution in the United States, what, 20, 25 years?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered how many people actually had telephones in the first 20 to 25 years there were telephones in the United States. And I don't actually recall there being a program at that time to buy telephones for people.
Yes, but it's different now, and it's pervasive and it's ubiquitous. You've got to have some access to a computer, or you're going to be really left out in a big way.
Well, I mean, but if you didn't have a telephone in 1906 and you needed the fire department, you know, what did you do?
I don't think it's the same analogy, Bill. I think it's very different.
Okay. Well, we can agree to disagree.
Okay, but it's a good point though that you raise, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320, 866-620. Do you agree with Bill? 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday, wonderful Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with
wacky,
Lisa West.
Wonderful Wednesday is what I call it. It's very wacky out there on the freeways, highways, and byways. Eastbound 50. Just, it looks like there's a two-car crash over there right by Sunrise Boulevard. Engle Road at Fair Oaks Boulevard, we have a two-car crash. That's on Cap City Freeway just south of J Street. And, well, that's about it, though. But it's a little thick going on South Bend 99. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm with Mike Franz, Jim.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule.
Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
5:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. Let's head over to the phones. We've been talking about the demise of newspapers and how will we be affected if they go off life support and we only can have e-versions of newspapers. Are we the poorer? Is it just different? We're still getting news, but we can't lay down and read the paper. Can't take it with us to all these places that it's hard to take a monitor into. Jackie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jackie.
Hi there. I just wanted to talk about the death of the daily. And I feel like one of the problems, and I'll speak specifically about the Sacramento Bee, is their alienation of community, meaning that there's a disconnect between the major daily and what's happening in our community. Jeff Fontanel's article spoke about creative ways that a major daily could contribute to the community or could develop a connect to the community, even though classifieds are going down and all of that kind of thing. And Enid, you made a comment last week about the CCPOA's picket that's coming up on the 22nd of December.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your suggestions is, why didn't they do an email campaign? And the problem is...
No, not an email campaign. Why didn't they write...
Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
South Dakota Senator Tim Johnson was rushed to a Washington hospital today after becoming disoriented and having trouble with his speech, but later his office said he did not have a stroke or a heart attack.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. That's a relief not only to Johnson's friends and family, but to his party. All afternoon there was fear among Democrats that Johnson might not be able to serve in the new Senate, might not even survive, and then the Republican governor of South Dakota would get to appoint a replacement, which would have meant 50 Republican senators, so the Democrats would not control both houses of Congress.
But what is wrong with the senator? Press Secretary Julianne Fisher left this message on her answering machine.
Senator Johnson continues to undergo testing and procedures at George Washington University Hospital in Washington, D.C. We expect to have more information in the morning. Johnson. There will not be another statement put out until the morning.
Johnson is about to turn 60. President Bush met for 2 hours today with the Pentagon's civilian and military leaders, but offered no hint of what he's planning for Iraq.
Declaring that he won't be rushed into a new strategy on Iraq, President Bush says delaying his announcement until after New Year's is giving him time to hear more ideas and opinions, not all of them worthwhile.
I've heard some ideas that would lead to defeat, and I reject those ideas. Ideas such as leaving before the job is done.
But his talks at the Pentagon, he says, were fascinating, and he was emphatic in stating that he won't give up in Iraq and risk that extremists might take control there. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The spacecraft mechanics aboard Shuttle Discovery had a problem today, and that means they have more work to do. A live update from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Now, the Discovery and space station crews have been wrestling with two solar power wings that just didn't fold up all the way like they were supposed to. Mission Control astronaut Steve Robinson says it'll take a spacewalk to fix.
Now, this would be done no earlier than EVA 3. But it could also be EVA 4 or a stage EVA.
That means the space station crew might do it after the shuttle leaves. The panels were retracted far enough to make way for a newer set. Tomorrow's spacewalk to start rerouting the station's power path will go on as planned. Bill?
Federal health investigators now think lettuce was the likely carrier of E. coli that sickened dozens of diners at Taco Bell. The chain says it switched suppliers and is not taking lettuce off the menu. One of the stars of Everybody Loves Raymond has died. Peter Boyle was 71. Doris Roberts, who played Marie to his Frank, says Boyle became a dear friend.
We both admired each other's work, but we had never worked together. And the first day we went on the set, it was as if we had known each other for 45 years.
Boyle starred as a middle-aged bigot in the 1970 film Joe. He played opposite Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver, and he was the monster in the Mel Brooks movie Young Frankenstein. The Dow up 2 points today. This is CBS News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just give me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
After a hearing today, experts are advising the Food and Drug Administration that new warnings should be added to antidepressant drugs. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
An advisory panel concludes antidepressants raise suicide risks beyond childhood and adolescence into the mid-20s. It wants that message sent out and demands closer monitoring of patients. New York psychiatrist John Mann claims tough labeling aimed at kids and adolescents has hurt depression treatment.
Introducing the black box warning in 2004 has led directly to the increase in suicide rates.
But 16-year-old Nick Corsi of Eldersburg, Maryland, told the panel antidepressants almost killed him.
I took a gun to school. Luckily, I didn't shoot myself. I missed.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Silver Spring, Maryland.
With a final hug for his wife, Jeffrey Skilling entered a federal prison in Minnesota today to begin serving his 24-year sentence. The former chief executive of Enron lost his bid to remain free while he appeals his conviction. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock, you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and tomorrow also. But on Friday, Air America is what you're going to be treated with. You'll be in great hands while we revel at the at the company party. Don't ever drink at the company party too much. Don't do things at the company Christmas party, or you'll be very sorry that you have. This is advice from your goddess here. We've been talking about many, many things, and you can join the conversation. If you are in the 916 area code, we'd love to have you join. Most of you have never called this program before. 99.9% of you have never phoned in. We know you're there. We know you're lurking about. We hope you're enjoying what we provide for you every day. But we would love to hear from you, because the more of you who participate in the conversation, the richer the conversation is. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. And we stream live, so you can find us anywhere. If you're traveling over the holidays and you're far, far away, we are not far away. We will be here for you. And you can find us at 1320leftchannel.com. And you can email us, enid@kctc.com. And we started the show with names and name calling, and some of you don't like some of my made-up names for some of these miscreants who are pushing us down the wrong road in life. And I've gotten emails pro and con on that. We've also been talking about newspapers. We've been talking about the death of newspapers. The San Francisco Chronicle is so anorexic now. There's so little advertising. It's reportedly losing about $2 million a week. How long is that going to, how long will that newspaper go on losing $2 million a week? Well, it's sort of part of a larger deal that Hearst and Media News have put together, and that's Dean Singleton in Denver. So maybe they'll keep it going as a loss leader for a while longer. We'll see. We've been talking about Hillary and Obama. We've been in the matter of names. Obama's middle name is Hussein, and of course the right wing is having a lot of fun with that. Jeff Greenfield is having a lot of fun with the way Obama dresses. He thinks that it looks like the way the president of Iran dresses. Maureen Dowd, writing in the New York Times today, says that Obama is Senator Hillary Clinton's worst nightmare. He's as comfortable in his skin as she is uncomfortable in hers. When push comes to shove, says one political observer, I think gender is going to be a harder sell than race. Do you think that gender is going to be a harder sell than race? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're also talking about the fact that nobody raids these packing plants in terms of food safety inspections, but they're raiding these plants in order to root out any illegals that they can find. And how many they found, I have not seen any reporting about it. If you've seen the number, I'd like to hear about it. A troubling report from the Department of Homeland Immigration raids. From the Salt Lake Tribune, DHS agents allegedly separated workers by their skin color. Light-skinned were considered citizens. Dark-skinned got scrutiny. Predictably, they swept up at least one dark-skinned U.S. citizen with immigrant workers. If only for a few minutes, Maria, who was swept up in the raid, felt like an illegal alien in her homeland, the United States of America. She thought she was going on break from her job at the Swift & Company meat processing plant here in Utah, but instead, she and others were forced to stand in a line by U.S. immigration agencies. Non-Latinos and people with lighter skin were plucked out of line and given blue bracelets. The rest, mostly Latinos with brown skin, waited until they were, quote, clear or arrested by La Migra, the popular name in Spanish for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE employees said. I was in line because of the color of my skin, Maria said, her voice shaking. They are discriminating against me. I'm from the United States, and I did not even get a blue bracelet. Women were crying as they were handcuffed with plastic ties and put on the buses. Some weren't allowed to get their belongings from their lockers. Maria, who declined to use her last name, argued with an agent because she was getting the coat for her 34-year-old niece, Blanca, who was also arrested. She, the agent, told me, "Do you think it's going to be cold in Mexico?" Maria said, holding back tears. Maria is actually a U.S. citizen. So we don't have enough people to inspect the food safety of our country. 83% of our chickens are infected with bacteria, but we're rooting out illegals because, gosh, and then we're going to go after terrorism in space or satellites because it'll make us safer. Never mind that we haven't bothered to shore up our ports and the inspections that happen in our ports. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Some of you may find it surprise that illegals have added $18 billion, with a B, dollars to the Texas economy. The Texas economy would have been almost $18 billion poorer in the last fiscal year, just 1 year alone, without illegal immigrants who added to state coffers but were a drain on local government, says a report by the state controller. The report, billed as the first detailed look by a state at the impact of undocumented immigrants on its budget, is likely to stir further debate on the emotional issue of illegal immigration. So it has been great for the state, but not so good for local government. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And let me add this to the conversation. Do immigrants make us safer? Do they? Do illegals make us safer? As immigration soars, guess what we're finding out? Although the midterm election failed to render a clear verdict on illegal immigration, the new Democratic Congress may enact sweeping legislation tightening border controls and allowing more guest workers next year. If that happens, the rancorous debate about how undocumented workers affect jobs and wages in the U.S. will be rejoined, and so too will an equally rancorous, if less prominent, debate: do immigrants make the U.S. more crime-ridden and dangerous? And what the evidence indicates is actually immigrants make us safer. And why they make us safer is that immigrants are more tightly knit than we are, more neighborhood oriented than we are. They keep an eye on the neighborhood. They keep an eye out for crime. They keep an eye out for people who are moving into the neighborhood and for strangers who are coming into the neighborhood. So that's why immigrants are apparently, and this is counterintuitive, making us safer. 349-1320-866-626-1320. In addition, there is news in Washington. So I want to hear your thoughts about immigration and whether or not we want to have all these people coming into to meatpacking plants instead of dealing with food safety. What they're doing is they're routing out illegals. Wouldn't you rather that they were dealing with food safety? Are we safer because the Department of Homeland Security has been in there? I would say to you that it probably has made no difference whatsoever and probably makes it tougher for the packing plants. Linda in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Linda.
Hi there.
Welcome.
Well, I'm calling to talk about immigration.
Okay.
I've driven all over this country, and it is not a California situation. It's not a Texas situation. It is the United States. And until we come to terms with the fact that we are better off because of having undocumented workers, we are going to be in a sorry state. It is the undocumented workers that have kept our Social Security system solvent and actually healthy, because these people cannot take, and at the end of the year, if they're using a false Social Security numbers, they cannot claim their taxes back.
That's right, and if they don't have a Social Security number, I don't know. Nobody's supposed to hire them if they don't. But I do know situations where they're paying into the system, but they can't get it out, and if they've got somebody's phony number, that person is probably the beneficiary of whatever they paid into the system.
Absolutely. But they aren't the beneficiary until they retire, and are.
But it's adding to your totals, and it's adding money to the system.
Absolutely.
Now, in some ways, they are a drain, but in other ways, for example, in Texas, they have added 18, just in one year, $18 billion, with a B, $18 billion to the economy. They've been a drain, apparently, on some of the local governments, but overall, they have been a plus. And when it comes to safety, apparently, they have helped to stabilize the crime rate and make areas, neighborhoods safer because they are more tend to be more community-oriented than we are. They keep an eye out if strangers come in. They all kind of, you know, everybody has a greater community life than we seem to. We're very isolated in our lives, and that's what they're theorizing is the reason for communities being safer.
No, I absolutely agree with everything you're saying.
And immigration is soaring, the crime rate is falling. That was the point. Go ahead.
No, I agree. The other issue that has to be addressed is the fact that the undocumented are the ones that are, because they're working the fields, they're working the low-paying jobs, they're the ones that are keeping the cost down, the cost of our foods, the cost of our services, the cost of when you go out and go to a hotel, the cost of the rooms. I mean, everything would be a lot more costly in this country if we did not have them.
I agree with you. Hear, hear. And I thank you for calling, Linda, and making that point. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We have one line open. Peter in Gridley. Hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Peter.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
I've become a lot more liberal in the past couple of years, but on the topic of immigration, I still remain fairly conservative, if that's a valid definition. The main issue for me is whether or not a person follows the law. And I really don't buy what was said about the immigrants being tighter knit and having safer neighborhoods and so on, because the words everybody and they all were used by you just a couple of moments ago. And that's too.
Well, wait a minute. You don't have to buy it, but that is apparently what the studies are showing. So you know what? You don't have to buy that the earth is round either. If you want to think it's flat, be my guest. You don't have to buy anything, but where is your evidence?
Well, the evidence is that the numbers of illegal aliens that are in prison and the number of people that are using tax money for their benefits.
There are people who are illegal who are in prison. There are people who are scam artists and crooks and criminals who are illegal. Absolutely. But apparently, on the whole, there is a falling crime rate as our immigration is soaring. And so the question is, do immigrants make us safer? And the conclusion is that they do.
Well,
and what about immigrants adding $18 billion with a B to the Texas economy in just one year? What about that, Dennis? Or Peter, sorry.
Well, we're talking actually several issues here. My main issue is that I speak Spanish fluently, and I get along very well with the Mexican people and the Salvadoranos, et cetera. But we need to have those people here on a legal basis. If we're living
look, I don't disagree with you, but how, as a reality, how are you going to do it when we have porous borders and when we need their help because our people won't do it or won't do it for that wage? I agree with you. It all should be legal. Everybody should come in the way you're supposed to come in, the way our ancestors came in. But it's not going to happen, and you have a real politic here to deal with. And what are you going to do, and how are you going to deal with it? A fence is not going to solve the issue. What is going to solve the issue, Peter?
Well, by saying it's not going to happen, it won't. So, I mean,
what is going to solve the issue? The illegals are not listening to Enid Live, probably, who are now swimming the Rio Grande or what, however they're coming in. So if I say it's not going to happen, they're not listening. So my question is, what are you going to do about it? You can't build a fence. It's not going to work.
Well, I'm honored that you put the entire responsibility on my shoulders.
Well, Peter, that is your homework assignment, and you call us back when you have a really good answer. But I am delighted that you called today. Thanks for doing it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Dennis in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Enid. Yeah, I agree with the previous caller. I do think there's a need for a guest worker program, but there has to be some checks and balances on this. It's so out of control that eventually...
It's completely out of control, but I don't think we have about as many ideas on how to deal with illegal immigration as we do with how to handle the war.
And you can pick you can point to things that are positive. There are some positives, but all in all, my personal opinion is that it's driving down middle-class wages. And ultimately, I don't think that's a good thing.
I think what's really driving down middle-class wages is the economic policies of this country. All the credits and benefits you get for outsourcing, for example, how about that? How about the tax cuts to the richest that really fall back on the backs of middle-class workers? And an alternative minimum tax is going to kick in here, and to everybody's surprise, if you're in a certain income bracket. And it wasn't supposed to be for ordinary people. It was supposed to be for the rich who had all these loopholes and ways of not paying tax. So if you're saying that illegal immigration is the cause of, it may have some effect, but it is not the cause of. There are lots of causes.
No, I'm not saying I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think that they both contribute to the deterioration of the middle class. Having said that, I do think that there are jobs still that there's two types of jobs, in my opinion, those which illegal aliens take and drive down middle class wages, and those which people who are legal just don't want to do.
Well, give me an example. You know, the legal people don't want to work in the fields.
They don't want to work in the field. They don't want to do housekeeping in hotels. And, you know, you can.
And they don't want to work in those horrible meatpacking plants either, where it's a lot of repetitive stress injury, where it's extremely dangerous, and there are a lot of people hack off their fingers and worse.
I would disagree with you there. I think if the wage were enough, you would get people.
Well, if the wage were enough and you want to pay $12 a pound for a hamburger, for your ground beef, for your sirloin, for your steak.
I don't recall ever having paid $12 a pound for ground beef, and I bet you if you look back 20 years.
Well, if you're paying $20 an hour for somebody to do it.
Well, if you look back 20 years, people weren't paying $12 a pound, and probably illegal aliens weren't.
20 years ago, if you look back 20 years, your health care costs were minuscule compared to what they are now. So the universe has changed substantially.
Well, sure it has. But that's part of the Republican agenda is to, you know, to wipe out the middle class.
The part of the Republican agenda is, that's right, to make it life happier and safer for the rich, to burden the middle class, and to blame it all on the undocumented. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We have lows tonight right around 47. Going to see highs tomorrow, 62, with no scattered showers, though on Friday we are going to see that. Some hit and runs going on at Eastern Avenue at Marconi Avenue. Cameron Park Drive at Green Valley. 2810 Eastern Avenue is a hit and run. No injuries, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lane there. And we are slow moving southbound Cap City Freeway by J Street and on through. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm News 10's Chris.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. It can't hear with the sound of hysteria. Let's subliminal my America.
thing about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
That's the Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays, Mondays through Fridays, that would be, on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And we're talking about immigration, and the reason we're talking about immigration, illegal immigration, is that the DHS, Department of Homeland Insecurity, should be called the DHI, has raided a bunch of meatpacking plants. Looking for illegals. They don't ever raid these meatpacking plants looking for E. coli, which would, I think, be more profitable, a higher cost-to-benefit ratio. No! They are looking for illegals. Well, it turns out that illegals make us safer. There's one study out that there's a falling crime rate as illegal immigration soars. We are safer. Why is that? They think that the family, close-knit families, close-knit communities are helping keep crime down. There's no question that illegals, some illegals commit crimes. We also know, according to a new report, and this is perhaps counterintuitive, that illegal immigrants have boosted the Texas state economy just in the past year by $18 billion. It has put a strain on local governments, but it has overall helped the state enormously. Now, maybe the state's got to share some of the wealth. So, The question is, how are we going to stop illegal immigration? What are we going to do about it? The border's porous. The fence is not going to work. The reality is, when it's so easy, when it's possible to make very, you know, for an illegal serious money here compared to the poverty that he or she would be stuck with if he or she remained in Mexico, it is irresistible. And it's porous to get through. So how are we going to keep, and we can use their help. So how are we going to handle this issue? We don't know how to handle the Iraq war, and we don't know how to handle this issue either. Fred in Elk Grove, hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Fred.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I'm really frustrated with a lot of how the Republicans or conservatives deal with this issue, because they scapegoat the illegal workers. You know, there's a huge demand, and that demand is by rich agribusiness, hotels, restaurants, and nobody goes after them or really argues against them as being the culprits here. And to the extent that illegals may be a drain, and I agree with what you said, actually I bet the net effect is that it's positive, but even to the extent it's a drain, it's really the fault of the people that hire them and then don't pay their fair share, because that's what they do. They get away with it.
Well, they get to hire people at substandard wages at far less than what they would have to hire Americans for if Americans wanted to do the job. If citizens wanted to do the job.
Right, exactly right. And everything else is sort of hysteria. You know, the building the 20-foot fence so that they get the 21-foot ladder. As long as there is a demand for them, there's going to be a supply. I wish the Minutemen, instead of sitting on the border, would say, all right, I'll go pick fruit in California for $5 an hour.
Yeah, let them go to Iraq if they want to be weekend warriors.
Right,
we could use
exactly.
them there. Forget the border. These are guys who have too much time and too few brains.
Yeah.
Fred, I thank you for the call and excellent points. 349-1320, I think we have one line open. Eric in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eric.
Hi. I think I've got a way to solve the flood of immigrants coming to this country. And I think one of the reasons they come here is so that they can have children here that then become U.S. citizens. And I think if we get rid of the natural-born citizenship, that it would eliminate one of the main reasons that...
I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't think that's a big deal about why they come here. I think they're coming here, maybe that for some people, but I think they're coming here because they can make way more money here than they can in Mexico, and then they bring it back, send it back to their families. They're otherwise stuck with a life of poverty. So it may be an ancillary benefit that if their kids are born here, they become citizens, but I would say that probably the main draw is that they can earn more money.
Well, I don't disagree that certainly the ability to make more money here than where they're coming from, and certainly just the standard of living here as compared to, you know, the countries they're coming from is definitely a draw. But I have seen when I used to live in Hawaii, there would be people from the Asian Pacific Rim who would come to Hawaii just to have their children so that their children would be United States citizens, and then they could later...
Well, that's different. That's a different thing. They're not coming to Hawaii or to the U.S. because they're so impoverished in Asia. They got to get on a plane to get to Hawaii from Asia. They're not on a raft. They're not swimming over. I think it's entirely a different thing, but I understand the point you're making, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320 opens up one line. Douglas, INSAC, hi. You're live with Enid. Hi, Douglas.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I listen to a lot of the programs on Air America, and we've talked about a lot of people specialize in this issue, and the illegal immigrants are exploited to keep wages down, and that ends up reducing wages for everybody. So a lot of people want them to be allowed to form unions and things, so they would improve their own lot, and they would not be able to use low wages to kind of exploit the rest.
So you're saying that because illegals will work for substandard wages, it brings wages down for everybody? I think
it reduces it for everybody, and that it's like cutting wages or cutting taxes both. It's like trying to support yourself by giving blood. You reach a point of diminishing returns for, you know, the whole economy very quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you for the call. 349-1320. One line is open. Donald in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Donald.
Hey, unit. I'm a teacher over in Sacramento, an English teacher, and I have a student doing a report on illegal immigration, and I wanted to find out where did the report come from so we can use it as a source.
Say this again.
Where did the report come from?
The two that I'm quoting?
Yeah, so he can use it as a source.
Well, one report that I'm quoting is, let me see, Reuters published it, and this is illegal immigrants. What am I, the reference librarian here, Donald? Do I look like the referee? What am I doing your homework for you? Are you the student that needs this for your paper?
No, I'm the teacher that needs
it. Yeah, you say a likely, yes, you say a likely story. Reuters has published it.
Okay.
And let's see, and it is the Pew Hispanic Center is probably okay. Where the report came from, but you can find it through Reuters. And the Do Immigrants Make Us Safer? And that you can find in the New York Times Sunday Magazine of which date? I don't know. Oh, maybe 12/3. Maybe 12/3 of this year on the New York Times Sunday Magazine. Do Immigrants Make Us Safer? So, Donald, I have done your homework for you.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Moi, the goddess, comma, reference librarian. Kevin and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
I'm calling about the immigration issue. It's the first time I've ever listened to your show. I'm a conservative, so I was trying something new. Just calling about this issue in regards to, you know, people saying that they take the jobs that nobody else wants. I was in construction for years, and the illegal immigration, you know, the illegal people who worked on the job sites made a lot more money than a lot of people do working at jobs they have college degrees for. I mean, there were guys who were illegal making.
Why were they hired? Were they working for the same amount that everybody makes on a construction site, or were they working for substandard wages?
Oh, they didn't make substandard wages. What it is you have a shortage of labor in construction because nobody wants to work for lower wages, but then nobody wants to pay more for houses. But what's happening on the job is I'll go out and build a house. I can build a house in, you know, give me, say, 3 or 4 weeks, but they'll put five guys on a house and build it in a week.
All right, now let me ask you, what's an average wage in construction?
Well, when I was in it, I was making $1,000, and these guys were pulling about the same.
$1,000 what? A week?
$1,000 a week.
All right, $1,000. Is it an hourly wage?
Most work is piecework. You get paid for what you get done. Sometimes you do hourly wages, but that's...
So for $1,000 a week with a lot of people looking for jobs, how is it that more people don't want to go into construction?
Well, see, the thing is construction is not something you can just get into. You have to know the job. But
you have to know the job. You have to have sort of an apprenticeship. Is that right? You have to learn the skills.
Well, I got into it because it's a family business. My father was a carpenter.
People have been building houses, but being in working construction for many, 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 many decades. So how is it that people aren't doing it now? What is the problem?
Well, right now what it is the wages have been driven low. What'll happen is
Making more than $1,000 a week before?
Not really. But what it is, here's what happens. When you piecework, a lot of people want to do piecework. The illegal immigrants will come in here and say, okay, and that guy's doing it for $1,000 a week. I'll do it for $600 and I'll get it done faster.
And are they doing a good job?
Well, it depends on who you get. If you get a good crew, then you got a good job. If you get a bad crew, then you get a crap job that's done fast.
Right.
But what it is construction companies, you know, they need to...
It's irresistible. And are people saying, I'll do it for $600 when it's usually $1,000? Are they moving the price that much lower?
No, well, you can't. I mean, so, sometimes when it takes, like, if you're by yourself and you're piecing work out, you can't.
Yeah, but that's not the question. The question I'm asking you, are you telling me that illegals are, in general, you picked that figure out of the hat. You said if a job pays $1,000 a week, an illegal might come in and say, I will do it for $600, which is a 40% deep discount. Are those actual figures? You've seen those?
Oh, no, I'm just making them off the top of my head. But I mean, if you go out here, I mean, 90% of your construction workers are illegal immigrants. Okay, and it's not that I'm against illegals. I believe that you should wait in line. But what I'm saying on this is a lot of people think that they take jobs nobody wants. I had to leave construction because I wasn't making as much as I used to.
And what are you doing? What are you doing now?
Oh, now I work in insurance. I'm actually an appraiser for homes and automobiles.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so.
And how much more are you making now?
I'm not making anything near what I used to make.
So you made more in construction.
Huh?
You made more, but you said you left construction so that you can make more doing something else, but you're actually making less doing something else.
there's pros and cons to working construction. Like I say, it depends on the weather. It's a seasonal job too. Depends on how many homes are being built.
Right.
Well, what I'm doing right now.
And then there's a housing slowdown too. Well, Kevin, before I say goodbye to you, and I'm glad that you called. How did you find us? You're conservative. Were you just surfing?
No, I have a person at work that I debate with on and off, and she told me she'd listen to some of the people I listen to if I listen to some of the people she listened to. But one other thing is, since I worked in insurance, you'd be surprised how many people that are illegal immigrants in California cause accidents, and there's no way to subrogate damages to them, so people's...
That's why you want to have driver's license for everybody, right? And then they have to be insured, that even whether they're legal, whether they're documented or not documented. Gil Cedillo has been trying to move this through for a long time, and actually it may happen. I thank you for the call, Kevin. We're going to have to leave it there. 349-1320, 866-2613-20. We have one line open. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some slow-moving traffic. We do have a traffic jam southbound Cap City Freeway just south of J Street. Eastbound 50 just east of Sunrise Boulevard. We have a vehicle there blocking the freeway service up onto the ramp, actually. And southbound 99 at 12th Avenue, we have a hit and run. No injuries, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Jamba Juice. No, art.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
As I was walking down the road one Christmas morning, I saw a reindeer with his nose all red.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel.
Pulled off the red-nosed reindeer, had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even think it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Sounds to me like Rudolph has a cocaine habit. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Rudolph with a red nose. Oh, and red and runny nose, too, I suppose. Well, we're so silly today. We're talking about immigration, and we're talking about it. What occasioned the discussion is that we in six packing plants in a number of states, the feds swooped down not to make a beef or food safety inspections. Absolutely not. Never mind that 83% of our chickens are contaminated with bacteria. They swooped in to pluck out as many illegals as they could. They're saying that it's a security issue, that there's identity theft going on. They separated them out by skin tone color, according to one report, and the dark skin in this group and the light skin in that group, and the light skin get a blue bracelet, and the dark skin are apparently more likely to be hauled off to the immigration pokey. And it turns out that some of the dark skinned people that they put into one group were actually U.S. citizens. And if there's illegal documentation, if they're using false Social Security cards and so on, how do they find that out right now? I mean, I'm just wondering how they determine that. I doubt that there are any fines for the packing firms, the Swift & Company packing firms that are involved. And what we know is that there are two reports out. One is that illegals have contributed $18 billion with a B, dollars to the Texas economy in just the past year alone. And the other report tells us that with a falling crime rate and a soaring illegal immigration rate, we are safer. Why is that? Do immigrants make us safer? And the conclusion is, we think so. We think that the tight community life has made neighborhoods safer. 349-1320, we have one line open. Marcus in Modesto. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marcus.
Hello, I can hardly hear you. Can you hear me, Enid?
I can hear you.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about schooling. You haven't talked about the school issue too much.
Well, go ahead. What's your point?
My point is that I work with my little kids in school. I got a couple little girls, and when they go to school, it really seems like a lot of kids now, they don't learn English at home. It's like the mom and dads are like, oh, hey, oh, that's okay. I don't want them to not learn Spanish, okay? So once they get to school, they'll learn English. And I think that has really slowed down the school system, and I've seen it happen. I mean, I've seen it happen in the classroom.
Well, it may happen. It also could be used to speed up the school system because your kids could be learning Spanish from their little playmates who are learning English. And maybe they can kind of, you know, help each other out. Why not?
That's a little bit too.
I think that's called, Marcus, in the season to be jolly. It's taking the lemon and making lemonade out of it. They ought to teach each other's language, and I'll bet it'll come easier to both of them. 349-1320, Maria in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Enid. Where to begin? I mean, the guy that called about the construction, you know, he kept going around in circles when you know called him on, you know, the different issues there, about him saying that, oh, they lowered the wages.
Yeah, but he just made up the numbers.
Yeah. So anyways, I just wanted to say something about you know, the immigration and how it can be solved. Well, one of the things that they would have to do is probably get rid of NAFTA. That's been part of the, you know, the biggest reason why there's all this.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it because it's very beneficial to employers and to large corporations.
Exactly.
So NAFTA's going nowhere.
Yeah. So I mean, why would people stay in Mexico and you know, be growing corn where they're when the corn coming in from the United States, you know, is you know, much cheaper than what it would cost them to grow the corn.
All right. So what is your solution besides getting rid of NAFTA? NAFTA. That's it.
Well, I mean, you know, people are asking, you know, why are they coming over? Well, the United States has it's involved in a lot of Mexico's, you know, political and governmental, you know, systems. and they have a hand at you know, controlling who's in charge there. So you would have to eliminate.
You know, here's the story. We don't have a plan. Nobody's got a plan. Nobody's got a good idea. We have the best anybody can do is let's put up a fence. Like, that's really good. You know, it's like how we're going to solve the educational problem. Let's put them in uniforms. Let's put up a fence. That will do it. It's a complicated problem. We can use this labor. It works for us. It helps to keep costs down. It has a downside. It also has an upside. And it is so attractive. It's seductive when here, very close to the border, is a place where you can earn a lot of money. Whereas if you stay home and you're in your native country, you're going to be impoverished. So it is way too seductive not to risk, and people risk everything to do it. They risk their lives and lots more. Well, I don't know if there is more than risking your lives, but they risk their lives. Maria, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. John in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hey, Enid, how's it going?
It's going well, thanks.
Hey, I want to continue on the line of thought of Maria. I agree. It's all down to foreign policy. You know, NAFTA has forced a lot of people out of their ranches, and, you know, they're forcing them to come here and make a living. Even though some of them don't really want to come, they're forced to come here because they've lost everything they've had down in Mexico.
In other words, you're saying they cannot make a living in Mexico.
No, so they're looking north, and even though they don't want to come here, I mean, I'm sure there's people that want to come here, but some of them don't. They're forced to come over and live in a foreign country, in a foreign language, and they feel more comfortable, you know, learning in Spanish, and it's okay. But, you know, I think Republicans want to blame everything on the immigrants because they're doing such a horrible job in government that they got to look somebody to blame for all their...
Another pinata, John. It's, if it isn't gay marriage, it's illegals. And I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have a couple of car crashes going on and flowing traffic jam. Westbound 50 at 8 Mile, westbound 50 just west of Bradshaw, and westbound 50 just east of southbound Cap City Freeway. We have a two-car crash slowing things down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
They're slinging mud. We're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. 349-1320.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live until 7. Yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel. We've been talking about immigration. We've been talking about the demise of newspapers. We've been talking about many things today. Let's talk with Ken in Citrus Heights. Hi, Ken. You're live with Enid.
Hello. I'm calling regarding the demise of newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's going to be a big convenience lost with the demise of newspapers because you're going to lose all that portability. Not everybody can go around with a laptop computer or nor afford it, so there's an age discrimination and economic discrimination issue and freedom of speech issue about losing your ability, a 50-cent newspaper.
I don't know if there's a freedom of speech issue because it's a privately published, you know, for profit. You know, they can do what they want.
Well, one of the things about newspapers is I'm hoping that factual news will be characterized versus editorialized news, so that if you want the spin, you go to the editorial section. If you want the factual news, you go to the section.
Well, that's an interesting and its own complicated conversation. I like what Norman Mailer once said: facts are nothing without nuance. You have the Wall Street Journal, which on its reporting pages.